and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot of news to talk about today, so let's just get right into it, shall we? We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Tuesday, the 21st of October, 2025. Obama's ex-CIA director, John Brennan, criminally referred to the DOJ. House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan referred Brennan for falsifying statements about Steele dossier during the House Judiciary Committee interview. Former CIA Director John Brennan on Tuesday was referred to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution, with House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan accusing him of falsifying statements during a Judiciary Committee interview. And we'll get into this, but yeah, he just blatantly lied. And it goes back to the Russiagate collusion. This, he basically was accused of lying about using the Steele dossier as the basis of launching the investigation in the first place, which of course now has been proven to have actually taken place. So he lied about that to the people that we elected to provide oversight to the intelligence community. So another major blow to the deep state. We'll expand on that more in just a little bit. Meanwhile, this story is crazy. Married congressman had alleged affair with aide before she set herself on fire. Bombshell revelation as police block release of 911 call and other evidence. Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez allegedly had an affair with a senior aide who later died after dousing herself with gasoline and setting herself on fire. Multiple sources have told Daily Mail. Regina Avilez, 35, poured gasoline over herself before becoming engulfed in flames at her home on September 13th in Uvalde, Texas, about 2 hours west of San Antonio. And she apparently was married, and she was having an affair with, supposedly, allegedly, with the congressman, Tony Gonzalez, who's a left-wing, anti-Second Amendment type guy, who apparently all have just insane skeletons in their closet and are all just involved in the most insane criminality. But we'll return to that a little bit later as well. Meanwhile, Vance downplays concerns over ceasefire in visit to Israel as Trump administration officials privately worry. Vice President J.D. Vance downplayed concerns about the fragility of the Israeli-Hamas ceasefire while speaking in Israel on Tuesday, even as some administration officials are privately concerned that the deal could fall apart. Sources familiar with the matter told CNN. We'll return to this a little bit later as well, as we have some friendly relations between people in the Trump administration like Scott Bessent and just the worst humans in the world that are currently in charge of Israel, like Bezalel Smotrich or whatever that demon's name is, who basically is just like, now that we have what we want, let's keep killing all of them. And Scott Bessent is there glad-handing with him. We'll get into that a little bit more later as well. Meanwhile, U.S. Marshal and illegal immigrant shot in ICE operation in L.A. So all the people during the No Kings protest and before and after talking about the need to, you know, start shooting people who are trying to just uphold the law and fulfill their constitutional duty. They're getting exactly what they want. A U.S. Marshal as well as an illegal immigrant were both shot in an immigration customs enforcement operation in Los Angeles, California. Both are expected to survive their injuries. I'll show you the report on that. But it wasn't actually illegal immigrants firing at U.S. Marshals. So, you know, I don't want to, blow this out of hand. They were, however, using their cars as weapons against the marshals in a tactic that we're seeing become increasingly more common. And again, we got a lot of evidence that there's a lot of staccatic terrorism going on that the Trump administration should be dealing more forcefully with. We'll, you know, return to that in just a little bit. Basically, Antifa now is putting up images of basically everybody that went to talk to Trump about Antifa are now on Antifa hit list, and they're publicly posting their images and saying that they're being hunted. So that's the type of way that people who work with the president get treated. I don't know how you expect people to keep working with the president. Hey, speaking of, White House says no plans for a Trump-Putin meeting in the immediate future. So there were talks of a big meeting happening in Bucharest. That's not happening anymore, and peace. The ever-elusive peace remains just that. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you by Bovine Colostrum Plus at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there, support us, and stay tuned. We'll be back with more news on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, Band.video, TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go to support everything that we do here. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today, and I didn't know if it was going to be that way before the show. It's honestly kind of a slow news day. Not a hell of a lot happening, as far as I could tell. Then all of a sudden, things started pouring in and pouring in and pouring in, and things moving faster and faster. I have a lot of stuff just from the last couple of hours, really, that is broken, and it's all extremely fascinating. And it's our duty to cover some of this stuff because a lot of the stuff happening is just genuinely not being reported. As an example, a few days ago time flies. It was Kash Patel and Donald Trump in the Oval Office presenting the success of Operation Summer Heat and talking about the tens of thousands of criminals that they've arrested, including 5,400 children rescued. Again, we watched that live, and I responded live, just trying to imagine, what does that even mean? 5,400 children rescued? Rescued from where? What condition were they in? Were these kidnapping victims, missing children, these people being exploited by their own parents? Like, what was happening exactly? So I go to find information about this. This is the only article online that I can find. This is it. They give this big presentation in the Oval Office about really some pretty astonishing numbers when it comes to crime, and just nobody reports on it. Nobody reports on it except for news.meaww.com. I don't even know what that is. What is news.meow.com? What? But you can't find it. CNN didn't cover it. Politico didn't cover it. Maybe they did. Maybe they used, different wording. But what I searched was like 5,400, 28,000 FBI, because those are the numbers that were presented. No other publication even showed up. And this is the case for like a number of things, that there is a real, like, as much as we've won the debate in a lot of ways, as much as we have succeeded in just destroying the arguments of our enemies, and they basically don't even try to, make these arguments anymore. And with Elon Musk opening up X, free speech has changed in dramatic and good ways, but there's still so much soft censorship going on right now. And that's going to be a big part of the discussion today. But a part of that soft censorship is just not reporting on successes that the Trump administration is having. And this is definitely one of them. Trump promises crime-free cities amid FBI arrest surge under Operation Summer Heat. The president hailed the results of the National Anti-Crime Campaign as FBI Director Kash Patel touted more than 28,000 arrests in 7 months. Again, why would they not want to report on this? Why would they not report on this? You've got 8,700 arrests of violent criminals in 3 months. You had 2,200 firearms seized off the streets from criminals not allowed to own guns. Of course, the fentanyl, enough to kill 55 million Americans in those 3 months. But again, it's the fact they found 5,400 children, a 30% increase year to date over the last administration. How is there not more reporting about this? Who are the 5,400 children? How are they being victimized? I mean, that is truly wild. And genuinely nobody is reporting on it. So that type of stuff, it's just, it's like if you weren't watching the presentation and then going and looking for it, you would never, ever, ever be able to find this stuff or know about this stuff. Which sort of brings me to my first video I want to play today. Because this was a similar situation, if you remember back a little over a year ago or so, when we were in this situation, which I guess we should be used to by now, of seeing something with our own eyes that was overt and obvious and undeniable and blatant for everybody to see, and every single person in the media and every single person in politics telling us we were crazy. And that, of course, was Joe Biden's mental incapacity. Truly one of the strangest time periods ever, where you had Joe Biden for the entire time that he was president incapable of stringing together a sentence. Words with three syllables were just absolutely not even a question. He was getting lost in his own backyard. He was shaking hands with people that don't exist. He was saying that he was just having a great time with somebody who died 30 years ago. Like, it was crazy. And on American Journal, almost every day, I would open up the show with whatever Joe Biden had done in the last 24 hours because it was such a regular occurrence. Whether it was him giving speeches, saying, you know, the best thing about being American is, if you know what I mean, and I'm serious here. I'm serious. Okay, so everybody sees it. Everybody sees it. Then Karine Jean-Pierre, the gay, lesbian, immigrant, black woman, shining star of the DEI program, White House correspondent, spokesperson, tries to coin the term cheap fake, specifically about the video we just played, where Joe Biden had to be led off of the stage by Barack Obama like he was a senile old man, because that's exactly what he was. And they claimed that that was a cheap fake in order to try to associate it with deep fakes, try to get you not to trust the evidence of your own eyes. It's like these things happen, and at the time, of course, InfoWars is there calling it out, screaming into the void, are you people insane? Joe Biden is not well. What is he doing? There's a PM of Italy being like, no, sir, it's this way where all of the people are. You're supposed to be looking. I mean, truly gaslighting like we've never seen before. And they're still doing it. They're still doing it. This is Stephen Colbert grilling Karine Jean-Pierre about this cognitive decline. And, of course, I got to know if what Colbert's plot in all of this is. He was doing it just as much as anybody else. So to act like, you know, he is, I don't know, holding her to account or something, I don't know. I think he might just be racist. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This is Stephen Colbert asking former Biden press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre about why she lied so much for so long. Let's watch.
I saw a guy who I had not seen backstage at the benefit that I did. It seemed like a dramatically different person. And at 81 years old, that's not entirely unexpected. You can imagine why people got so worried.
So, a couple of things. I got to see Joe Biden almost every day. And this is a question that I take very seriously. No one has ever said he hasn't aged. No one ever said that. He would make jokes about it. He would acknowledge it. And he would say, yes, I know I don't speak this as well as I used to. I don't walk as well as I used to. No one is saying that he didn't age. I'm talking about, did he have the question that I was getting, the mental acuity? Was he able to govern? And the man that I saw nearly every day was someone who was engaging, understood policy, and was always putting the American people first. And it showed in what we were able to get done. I remember I saw him.
I don't think anybody questioned his heart or his policies. But it takes more than that to be the president of the United States. And in a moment of great pressure on stage, we saw someone shock us and worry us And nothing could assuage that worry. So I don't think it was necessarily a betrayal of Joe Biden, as other people saying, we don't think we were shown the Joe Biden that you saw.
I saw every day a really ugly assault on someone who had 50 plus years of experience and who, again, objectively had done a good job as president of the United States. And it was heartbreaking to see that type of behavior.
I think all of that, everything you're saying, I cannot fault the factual basis of what you're saying or your feelings about it. Yeah. But what happened was the debate performance. Everything is downstream of that.
And no one is saying that the debate performance wasn't shocking, wasn't a disappointment. No one is saying
disappointment
that.
Disappointment is such a light term.
I use your words.
It was harrowing.
I use your words.
Okay, look, listen, we're never going to agree on this.
We're not.
Other than
we're
the
not,
fact that I'm glad that you came here tonight. And
I appreciate
that. I need a wrap
that.
Over there. Would you like to say one more
that,
thing before
I do
we go?
Think that.
Has Stephen Colbert ever tried comedy? Maybe he'd be better at comedy. Has he ever tried comedy? Yeah, that man doesn't exist. Look, we're witnessing in real time the birth of the memory hole. They're trying to gaslight you. They're trying to gaslight you. Crean Jean-Pierre there. First of all, nobody's saying Biden didn't age. What? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yes. This is not a question about whether he is subject to the relentless march of time. Yes, we all are. We understand that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about his mental incapacity, his inability to understand what was going on in his immediate vicinity, let alone manage the largest and most powerful country in the history of the world, and his proclivity to lie on the beach like a squid while unnamed underlings did all of his work for him. And about the willingness, the ability to, without shame, for the people around the president to lie to our faces about it. That was the concerning thing. And now, a year and more past the crisis event, Karine Jean-Pierre's there saying, yeah, you know, it was, we saw what he was like, and maybe it wasn't, but nobody was saying, that's not what they were saying at the time. At the time, they were saying he is the sharpest he's ever been. They were saying he is the most intelligent and well-spoken and well-read president in the history of the country. And he is sharper now than he has ever been before. And they were telling that lie right up until he was put in a situation where he couldn't fake it anymore, where they couldn't hide him anymore, where he couldn't be covered by their lies with the American people anymore. He was on a debate stage where it was just him, President Trump, the moderators and the American people, and everybody got to see in crystal clear relief what we had been telling them for the last 4 years, that the man wasn't well, that he didn't know what the hell he was doing or what he was saying or whether he was even saying actual words. And these people want to come back a year later and go, well, you know, we were... You know, I saw him every day and I didn't see any declines. Like, you're so full of crap. You are utterly and hilariously full of crap. And I don't know how people don't see this. And I don't know which is worse. It's almost like I at least respect her for keeping up the grift. At least she is sticking to the lie. I have less respect for someone like Stephen Colbert, who himself was one of the people mocking Trump endlessly, defending and deflecting from, you know, criticisms about Biden endlessly, covering up the cognitive decline, hiding it, concealing it, distracting from it, because he wanted to win politically. These people are relentless liars, truly. It is disgusting, utterly and completely disgusting. Nobody said he didn't age. Okay. Yes, but great. Yes, thank you. He did age. The same as everybody else. Thanks, Karine Jean-Pierre. That's not at all what we're talking about, even a little bit. Colbert highlighted Biden's abysmal debate performance while proceeding to talk to Jean-Pierre like a child, saying, I think everything you're saying, I cannot fault the factual basis of what you're saying. Well, I can. She's lying. She was lying then. She's lying now. She's selling a book of lies to try to, you know, get back into office so her lies have more power like they used to. Not gonna happen. Now let's get into, again, the big breaking story from just earlier today, the DOJ referral for John Brennan. John Brennan, one of the worst of the bunch, got to say, out of all of the people involved in the deep state, John Brennan, just bald-headed weirdo, might be the most swampy of creatures. This is the actual referral to Pam Bondi from the chairman of the Oversight Committee, Jim Jordan. And he says this, we write to refer significant evidence that former director of Central Intelligence Agency John Brennan knowingly made false statements during his transcribed interview before the committee on the judiciary on May 11, 2023. While testifying, Brennan made numerous willful and intentionally false statements of material fact, contradicted by the record established by the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the CIA. Under 18 U.S.C., a witness commits a crime if he, quote, knowingly or willfully makes any materially false statement or representation with respect to, quote, any investigation or review conducted pursuant to the authority of any committee of Congress. Congress cannot perform its oversight function if witnesses who appear before its committees do not provide truthful testimony. Making false statements before Congress is a crime that undermines the integrity of the committee's constitutional duty to conduct oversight. The points below support an investigation into whether Brennan made false statements in his transcribed interview. One, Brennan falsely denied that the CIA relied on the discredited Steele dossier in drafting the post-election intelligence community assessment. On January 6, 2017, the CIA, FBI, and NSA published a declassified version of an intelligence community assessment, ICA, titled Assessing Russian Activities and the Intention in Recent U.S. Elections. The ICA stated, among other things, that Russia, quote, developed a clear preference for President Trump and aspired to help him win the election. This conclusion, now known to be false, was based in part on the Steele dossier, which was referenced in the ICA main body text and further detailed in a two-page ICA annex. The Steele dossier was a series of reports containing baseless accusations concerning President Trump's ties to Russia, compiled and delivered to the FBI in 2016 by former British intelligence agent Christopher Steele. Subsequent investigations confirmed that the Clinton campaign and the DNC paid Steele via the law firm Perkins Coie and opposition research firm Fusion GPS to provide derogatory information about Trump's purported ties to Russia, which resulted in the discredited dossier. In July 2025, the Trump administration declassified numerous documents showing that the ICA's main findings were false and that the Obama administration knowingly fabricated the findings for the purpose of undermining the Trump administration. Again, this is one of the biggest political crimes that we're aware of ever in the history of the United States. And it's such a big crime because the underlying intentions were treasonous and seditious and an actual violation of the things that the lefties always pretend to believe. Again, this is just another, it's just like the No Kings protest. How many times have you heard lefties pulling their hair out, crying crocodile tears, you know, sounding very sincere when they decry, you know, Trump potentially maybe at some point using some power he has to, like, you know, not give up power after an election, to try to, you know, foil the peaceful transition of power. Now, if they actually believed that that is such a terrible thing, if they actually had convictions and, you know, foundational principles they could stand on, then they would be just as pissed that Obama did it. They don't actually care. See, we actually care about this sort of stuff and are looking at the people that actually did it, not at the distractions from the people that don't believe this stuff, who just want you to hate Trump and are trying to appeal to the things that they don't believe but know that you do. In the same way, when you have, you know, atheists telling you to, you know, shut up about their disgusting acts because aren't you a Christian? Yeah, I don't believe any of the Christian stuff, but it's a mallet I can use to bash you over the head, so I'll invoke it here. It's the same way the lefties do with literally everything. I mean, they believe absolutely nothing except for raw, unadulterated power and a general hatred for Christians and white people. But other than that, they don't actually believe in things like the peaceful transfer of power. Otherwise, they would be behind us 100% in going after and bringing justice to the very people who destroyed that peaceful transfer of power, who robbed 80 million Americans of their votes in 2016 by placing on the Trump administration a gigantic wet blanket of a fake scandal that just completely screwed over his entire administration. It's just utterly infuriating, these people who, if they just actually believed anything they said, would be great partners in getting to the root of all of this, but they don't. So I don't expect that. Let's go to clip 27 here. This is the new White House spokeswoman, Caroline Leavitt, talking about this. I believe this video is from back in July. I'm not entirely sure. But here she is laying out the true level of criminality, the treason, the sedition, all choreographed and quarterbacked from the Oval Office under Barack Obama. Let's watch.
Another matter, over the past few days, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has unveiled shocking new evidence that former President Barack Obama and top aides in the Obama administration conspired to subvert President Trump's 2016 election victory and undermine the democratic will of the American people. While publicly pretending to engage in a peaceful transfer of power, in private, former President Obama went to great and nefarious lengths to try to sow discord among the public and sabotage his successor, President Trump. The new evidence released by the Director of National Intelligence, who is here with me today, confirms that the Obama administration manufactured politicized intelligence, which was later used as the justification for baseless smears against President Trump in an effort to try to delegitimize his victory before he even took the oath of office. The truth is that President Trump never had anything to do with Russia, and the Russia collusion hoax was a massive fraud perpetuated on the American people from the very beginning. And the worst part of this is Obama knew that truth, and so did all of the other corrupt officials involved in this scam, including former CIA Director John Brennan, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, former FBI Director James Comey, former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, and many others. Director of National Intelligence Gabbard's report further confirms what we already knew. There was no collusion, no corruption, except on the part of Barack Obama and the weaponized intelligence agencies at the time. The Russia hoax was a blatant lie, all ginned up by Democrat political operatives that were signed off on by then-President Obama and leaked to the news media to launch a years-long witch hunt against President Trump and his first administration.
So you got to understand just how widespread, how deep this went, and how much trouble we're still going to have, getting justice for any of this. After all, this is just a criminal referral from Congress. The DOJ now has to pick it up. And the really sad thing is the DOJ is still, to a very large degree, controlled by the deep staters. And the judiciary, to a very large degree, is controlled by the deep staters. We're seeing already James Comey starting to pull some tricks out of the bag and work with some compatriots in the deep state and the judiciary to pull some legal tricks to try to get out of justice for one of his many crimes. But you heard her say it there and truly try to understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about the president of the United States working with a Democratic candidate for presidency to fabricate out of whole cloth a completely non-existent scandal, get search warrants on the basis of that non-existent scandal in order to destroy the likelihood that, the opposition party take over the White House during that election. I mean, true treason, true subversion of the elections, a true death blow to democracy. And the last 10 years of American politics has been in turmoil because of this illegal decision. These people have to be held to account, not just stripped of their security clearances, not just, forced to retire to a beach house in Chappaquiddick or wherever the hell these ghouls hang out. They have to be thrown into prison. And honestly, some of them should be charged with treason. And if that's the case, they should be given the ultimate treatment of justice. And it doesn't stop with Steele dossier. That was all in service of the real crime of opening up the border and destroying America wholesale. We'll return to it on the other side.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Talking about the indictment or the referral, the criminal referral of one John Brennan. A man who has slithered away from justice for far too long already. And this is the actual statement made by Jim Jordan, sent to Pam Bondi in a request for criminal charges against John Brennan. And he lays out a number of false statements that Brennan made. But I want to remind you that the false statements are the least bad thing about this. It's like that. There's like a Norm Macdonald joke. He says he's talking to somebody about Bill Clinton and the rape accusations. The person says, you know, the worst part is the hypocrisy. Norm Macdonald says, I don't think that was the worst part. No, I think the first worst thing is the rape, the raping, and then the scheming, and then the lying. And somewhere way down the list is the hypocrisy of the whole thing. That's kind of where we're at here. Yeah, John Brennan lying, not great. James Comey lying to Congress, not great. Actually, sort of a fundamental violation of the entire construct of our government and the fact that we are citizens over the government, not the other way around. It is a betrayal on the most fundamental level of American governance, but it's still the smallest part of this. The lies are in service of the crimes. The lies are crimes as well, but they're in service of the actual crimes. This is a common thing. Same thing we talked about with Hillary Clinton and her off-site secret bathroom email server. She doesn't go through all that trouble. You don't have an off-site secret email server that you scrub with bleach bit because you want to, you know, keep the Christmas present secret from Bill, right? You do it because you're trying to hide the evidence of the real crimes that you're doing. So this is a very common thing, and I'm hoping against hope that these indictments or these criminal referrals for lying to Congress or, you know, lying to federal officers or whatever these people are being charged on, I hope this is just a foot in the door strategy. And I hope that by the time the cases actually make their way through the judiciary, we're seeing charges for sedition and treason and conspiracy, RICO charges, indicting all of these people and everybody they interacted with and everybody in the media who went along with it. Because what we're describing here, it was a full-on, all-out assault on our system, a genuine threat to the United States of America in every way you could possibly imagine. Not to mention the national security disasters that have come about as a result of this. God only knows what the world would be like if they'd never done this. What would the world be like if Donald Trump was actually given a fair shake, was actually allowed to have a first administration? The Ukraine war probably wouldn't have started. I can tell you for one thing, it'd probably be a million people that, you know, died over the last 2 years wouldn't have died. 3 years, 3.5 years at this point. Like, God only knows the number of deaths, the number, like, the amount of chaos, the amount of people who have spent time in jail, all because these absolute rotten scumbags saw somebody from outside of their controlled two-party duopoly system break through the restrictions, break through the gatekeeping, and actually become president of the United States. This is chilling. This is terrifying. It's fantastic that they haven't gotten away with it, but they have to not get away with it. Like, there's another timeline where Donald Trump is in prison right now, or he's dead from a gunshot on a tarmac or in a field in Pennsylvania or on a golf course, and we're God only knows where. So they haven't gotten away. They didn't succeed. Their missions failed, but they're still out there. And they're being treated with kid gloves by the deep staters that still occupy these offices. And the Trump is still not ousted. And the judiciary seems to be, you know, favoring them as well. So continuing on this report from Jim Jordan, remember, he lays out multiple instances of John Brennan lying. The first one is about Brennan falsely denying that the CIA relied on the discredited Steele dossier in the drafting of the post-election intelligence community assessment. And it actually has the exchange that was recorded between Matt Gaetz and Mr. Brennan. And it was actually questioning about the Hunter Biden laptop. They get into the Steele dossier stuff, and Brennan acts stupid. I mean, it's really all they have. It's their number one strategy at this point is to act retarded to try to get away with their crimes. He's like, again, that was happening back in 2016. I understand how you were able to tie this into my reference to my expertise. I don't see how any relevance to the Hunter Biden laptop issue now. And Matt Gaetz responds, well, you said you signed this letter and that we now acknowledge Joe Biden's misuse, or that Joe Biden misused in a debate to fool the American public because you're this great Russian expert. So I'm trying to understand your Russian expertise, and you were involved in analyzing this information. And it's just worth reminding, like, there's a number of things. Like, we're talking about the Steele dossier right here. John Brennan is the scumbag at the heart of a lot of very damaging psychological operations run against the American people, including the Hunter Biden laptop lie, where they said it has all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. Oh, but we're not saying it's Russian disinformation. We never actually said that. these little games they play. They think they're so clever. Like, that's really a lot of what we talk about. It's just these scumbag evil bastards using legalism to try to get away with crime. And it's just like, they just think they're clever. They think they, if they just phrase it the right way, if they just start, are a little cute with it. Well, we didn't say it was a Russian disinformation. We said it has all the hallmarks of it. And it does. It has all the hallmarks of it. What are the hallmarks of it? It helps Trump, I guess. Right? Because that was the lie there going on in the first place. Like, these are the way the lies build on each other as well. So Mr. Brennan, John Brennan, says to Matt Gaetz in this congressional testimony, quote, the CIA was not involved at all with the dossier. Not involved at all. He didn't even know about it. He's like, this was last year. How am I supposed to remember this? A report drafted by the HPSCI in 2017 and recently declassified shows Brennan's testimony to be false. That's what I mean when I say this guy is slithering out of accountability. Since 2017, we've known that he was involved in including the Steele dossier information in the reports that were then leaked to the press that allowed them to claim that Trump was a Russian agent. Press reports that were then themselves used in order to justify warrants and further investigations. Because that's how this works. You get how this works, right? They come up with a lie. They include that lie in, you know, intelligence reports, but they bury where the lie came from because it was them the whole time. Then that lie goes to the media. The media reports on it. Then they turn around, use reports from the media, and say, hey, according to this reporting, Trump's a Russian agent. Maybe we should look into this. It's just, it's a gigantic game of charades. It's a gigantic play they're putting on for all of us. And it's all been dismantled right out in front. It's all been taken apart and laid out, all of its pieces been laid bare. We can see all of it now. So let's get the treason trials going. That's what should be happening here. This is treason. What we're describing here is open treason. Yes, he lied to Congress about the treason, but that's not the real thing. The real thing is the treason he was lying about. NSA, so they include this intelligence report, and they include the fact that the information came from the Steele dossier, a product of the Hillary Clinton campaign. They include that information in NSA. The only problem is NSA is top secret clearance. You can't see it unless you have top secret clearance. So they include the information from the dossier, but the fact that the information came from the dossier is classified, so you can't see that. NSA, which was originally included, in the highest classified version of the ICA, was a two-page summary of the Steele dossier, along with, quote, some analysis that struggled to imply that some dossier findings may have been corroborated by intelligence. The CIA officer who served as the lead author of the ICA told HPSCI that he drafted NSA, quote, in coordination with the FBI. So the CIA was working with the FBI to create the annex that included the information from the Steele dossier that John Brennan then said he had no idea about it and the CIA wasn't involved at all. That's a lie. Brennan made the ultimate decision, along with then FBI Director James Comey, to include the information from the dossier in the ICA. And as further discussed below, Brennan overruled senior CIA officers who objected to the inclusion of the dossier material. So it was Brennan himself that decided to include the dossier information. Brennan himself overruled other CIA officers who said this is unqualified, this is unjustified, this is baseless, these accusations are baseless. They probably knew exactly where it came from, and they were probably predicting what's happening right now. This is all going to come out, dude. But remember, everything they did was predicated on the belief that they would be successful in their mission. They wouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff if Hillary Clinton had become president in 2016, or if any of their attempts to take down Trump from 2020 to 2024 had succeeded. They would have gotten away with all of this scot-free. That's why they weren't very careful. That's why they were sort of overt in their actions. And the senior CIA officers were probably going, hey, this isn't worth it. You weigh the pros and cons. The pro is, all right, you can go after Trump, I guess. You can screw him over in the media, as if they don't do that anyway. The cons are, we're all committing treason and may go to jail or be given the death penalty as prescribed by the Constitution. I don't think it's worth it. And John Brennan said, don't worry about it. He said, include it. He said, you have to include it. It was probably very condescending when he said it. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, that's who these people are. The arrogance, the belief that they can just get away with anything. They can screw anybody over, lie about anything, and it can be as blatant as you want, but they'll never pay the price for it. I mean, that's how these people think. That's who these people are. So why should he care about putting in false information? He's the head of the CIA. You know, what's going to happen to him? Nothing. Do you want kings? Sorry, do you want to have somebody with the power of a king? The power to act however he wants, regardless of the laws? Somebody who's not subject to the same rules and restrictions and punishments that we are? Here they are. Here are your kings. Here are your two people that, up to this point, have been above the law for all intents and purposes, despite the fact that we've known they were involved in this cover-up since 2017. Now, all of that is just the first point in the multi-point dissertation by Jim Jones given to Pam Bondi earlier today. The second point is this. Brennan falsely testified when he told the committee that the CIA opposed including the Steele dossier in the ICA. So first he says, I don't even know about it. CIA had nothing to do with that. It comes out later. He was actually the person responsible for the dossier being included and the source of the dossier being hidden. CIA, in collaboration with the FBI at the direction of John Brennan, carried that out. But it goes further than that. He claimed that the CIA not only didn't have any idea about the Steele dossier and wasn't the one including it, they say they opposed it. CIA said, we can't have this Steele dossier in here. Just, again, outright, abject, blatant lie. Brennan testified that, quote, the CIA was very much opposed to having any reference to the inclusion of the Steele dossier in the intelligence community assessment. And they have, again, the testimony saying that exact thing. This claim is contradicted by multiple sources that reveal Brennan's support for including the dossier in the ICA, according to a CIA memorandum declassified by the Trump administration. When two CIA mission center leaders confronted Brennan with these specific flaws in the dossier, Brennan disregarded their concerns, appearing more swayed by the dossier's general conformity with existing theories than by legitimate tradecraft concerns. Even this doesn't make any sense. Well, what did they just say? That Brennan, quote, appeared more swayed by the dossier's general conformity with existing theories than by legitimate tradecraft concerns? He knew it was fake. They all knew it was fake. Even this is presenting as if, like, well, he thought that it was believable because it corresponded with what he previously believed from other sources. No. He knew it was fake. They all knew it was fake. Every single one of them knew it was a Hillary Clinton campaign opposition lie, and they included it anyway. So even this is like going a little bit too soft on him, as if they believe his statement that, well, you know, I just thought it was true. He didn't think it was true. They all knew it was fake. This is ridiculous. They wouldn't lie about it otherwise. Why wouldn't they include it if they thought it was real? If he really was convinced by the authenticity of this dossier, then he would have included it. No, you hide it because you know it's fake. You know, this is just basic logic. This is just basic. This is what happens. Similarly, the HPSCI report notes that when senior CIA officers demanded that Brennan remove the Steele dossier from the ICA, Brennan refused to remove it. When officers presented evidence of the dossier's many flaws, Brennan responded, yes, but doesn't it ring true? Doesn't it just ring true, though? The liar says about his lie. Yeah, but doesn't it just sound good? Don't you want it to be true? And isn't that a good basis for including it? Number three, Brennan also provided false testimony during an HPSCI hearing in 2017. On May 23rd, 2017, Brennan testified before HPSCI during an open hearing entitled Russia Active Measures during the 2016 election campaign. During the hearing, Brennan falsely asserted that the Steele dossier, quote, was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done. Although the statement was made beyond the five-year statute of limitations, it indicates a pattern of Brennan's willingness to lie to Congress about the Steele dossier. So, and he asks, you know, again, in no uncertain terms, did the CIA rely on the Steele dossier? And he said no. When asked why not, he said, because we didn't. It wasn't a part of the corpus of intelligence information that we had. It was not in any way used as a basis for the ICA that was done. It was not. Okay, so that's three blatant lies that he should be charged for. It's on Pam Bondi's desk now. I guess it's up to her and Todd Blanche. So God only knows if it's going to actually succeed in getting anywhere. But I just say again, it's not the lies. The lies are not the problem. The lies are the cover-up of the real crime. The lies are actually the cover-up of the real crime. He lied about including the intelligence assessment, which he did, but he covered that up because he wanted to include knowingly falsified material in the intelligence community assessment so they could leak it to the press so they could try to screw Trump over. So how much more do we need, folks? Put the man away. Put the man away for life. It's going to be hard, though. It's going to be extremely hard. Because, yeah, the deep state is still very, very much active and very much working to destroy the ability of the Trump DOJ to actually get justice for any of these scumbags. And it's working to some degree. New, Biden judge gives Comey his first win. Federal judge assigned to James Comey's criminal case gave the former FBI director his first win on Monday. A grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia indicted former FBI Director James Comey last month. He was indicted on two counts, false statements and obstruction of congressional proceedings. You know, one thing, I keep pointing it out, but I keep hearing the lie, so I feel like I have to confront it again. I heard somebody, it must have been on NPR or something, it was a leftist, talking about Comey being indicted. And they actually say, they're like, Trump had to put in his personal attorney. This woman that's just exceeding wildly. They had to put in a personal attorney because the, you know, career prosecutors at the DOJ refused to go along with him in his retribution, right? The way they're framing it as Trump is just, he's vindictive. He just wants retribution. He's this crazy criminal, and good upstanding Boy Scout James Comey is just, it's in his crosshairs and he wants to destroy him. And in his standing in the way of King Trump are the, you know, upright, stalwart, honorable, you know, lawyers in the DOJ who are just refusing to bend to his will. And they're sticking with the law and they're, you know, fulfilling their obligations to the Constitution. And they refuse to go along with his, you know, political retribution targeting his political enemies. And so the prosecutor's saying, look, there's nothing here. There's nothing here to get Comey on. And so again, they're framing this by saying, like, well, his career prosecutors are saying there's not enough to go on here. And then he brings in his personal lawyer who doesn't care and just goes to do it anyway. But here's the problem. His personal lawyer got the indictment. So we don't have to wonder. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to believe the career prosecutor who was telling Trump that there was no way to get an indictment. They got an indictment. He was wrong and he was lying. He wasn't wrong. He was lying. He was lying about that. But like, I don't know, but they're still running with this lie. They're still running with this idea that the career prosecutors were refusing to, you know, go after Comey, and they were right. But they weren't right because they got the indictment. The whole argument is there's not enough proof to indict him, so we're not going to try to indict him. Then somebody else comes in, tries to get the indictment, and succeeds, therefore incontrovertibly proving that first prosecutor dead wrong. But they're still running with that, which I say again, the fact that a career prosecutor whose whole job it is to get indictments pretends that it's not possible, delays and waylays and refuses to file the indictment, and then, oh, what's her name, Trump's personal gal, gets the indictment in 5 days? Okay, that was deliberate sabotage by that former prosecutor, who, by the way, is married to somebody whose father is the godfather of James Comey's daughter. So he was doing it on purpose because of a familial loyalty. Okay. Treason. This is all treasonous. The grand jury in Eastern District indicted former FBI Director James Comey. If convicted, James Comey's facing up to 5 years in prison. Comey's case was assigned to U.S. District Judge Michael Nachmanoff, a Biden appointee. On Sunday evening, federal prosecutors signaled they may remove James Comey's attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald, as his lead counsel because of his involvement in the former FBI director's leak of classified information to the media through Daniel Richmond. And so this is a part of a strategy that Comey is pursuing where you hire lawyers that are actually involved in your crimes, and so they can't be called as witnesses to testify against you because now that they're your lawyer, you have client-lawyer privileges. and what you tell them is sacrosanct and can't be divulged. And so they're trying to, he's actually hiring the people who he leaked to be his lawyers, so then they can't testify that he leaked to them. Just trickery, just cleverness, right? Just trickery and legality that should not serve as a barrier to justice. If these little games that they're playing, that's fine, but like this can't stop us from actually punishing him for his crimes. This is just abuse of process. Patrick Fitzgerald, a former U.S. attorney in the North District of Illinois, was involved in Comey's illegal leaks to the media back in 2017. DOJ prosecutors told the court that that Comey used Patrick Fitzgerald to, quote, improperly disclose classified information. Based on publicly disclosed information, the defendant used current lead defense counsel to improperly disclose classified information. This according to the prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia, Tyler Lemons and Gabrielle Diaz. They wrote that in a court filing on Sunday. This fact raises the question of conflict and disqualification for current lead defense counsel. The prosecutors asked the judge to quickly approve a proposal for a filter team of lawyers to sift through evidence in Comey's criminal case that could clarify Fitzgerald's role in the 8-year old disclosures without breaching Comey's attorney-client privilege, Politico reported. Patrick Fitzgerald fired back at DOJ prosecutors and accused them of seeking to defame him, though through allegations he disclosed classified material to the media. Later Monday, Judge Michael Nachmanoff gave Comey a win and denied government prosecutors' request to speed up the filter team. So again, they wanted this outside team of lawyers to come in and determine whether or not this guy was involved and whether or not he should therefore recuse himself and not be allowed to be Comey's a lawyer. And basically the judge is saying, no, it's fine. Well, you know, we'll do they're still doing the filter thing, but they'll slow walk it and they'll, you know, not have anything happen anytime soon and sort of let, you know, Comey work all that stuff out in the background before anything actually comes down. So deep state still in operation, folks. Same people that tried to screw Trump over, many of them still in office, many of them still, you know, carrying out their duties, not to the president of the United States, but to the unelected shadowy cabal that tried to first screw Trump over, then tried to impeach him, then tried to kill him, and are now, you know, just trying to survive. I really hope Trump is taking this as seriously as he should. We'll get into more on the other side. We'll probably start with a little video on the first five. I got a lot of great videos to go to, but I want to remind you that we've been telling you about this from the beginning, and it is the reason, one of the many reasons why it's so important that InfoWars stay on the air. Because if we weren't here every day showing you Joe Biden's mental collapse in real time, then it'd probably be pretty easy to believe Karine Jean-Pierre when a year later she says, nah, he was actually really sharp and nobody knew. I was with him every day and I had no idea. The lie doesn't really work when we're on the air telling you the truth and you can point back to it and go, how do some random dudes in Texas know what's going on and Karine Jean-Pierre doesn't? We expose their lies in real time, but it's useful into the future.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little, stepping towards you. But also, also, since there's 30 seconds left, you can have me go, waka chaka woom bok, quang quang kong, whatever it is. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga bok, woom kong kong. That'd be really good.
Stood up to King George, they were told it was impossible, but they won.
As over the weekend, the new king's breakfast is ironed.
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. And I looked at all the brand new signs paid for, I guess it was paid for by Soros and other radical left lunatics. It looks like it was. We're checking it out. The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective. And the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people of our country.
They're going to tear up the crown.
Well, they really showed their ass. How can you bring the entire nation to a cause that makes zero sense?
Why specifically are you out supporting No King's Day?
I think protest is important.
Is there any decision in particular you disagree with?
So I would start with... I don't even think it's appropriate for me to have this interview.
Why are you supporting people who are taking away voting rights, who are gerrymandering? Charlie Kirk wanted that, right?
Taking away people's voting rights? Like, Charlie Kirk, all he did was sign people up to vote. He gave so many young people a right to vote.
Young white people, right?
What are you talking about? It's not true at all. Him and Candace Owens were very tight. I don't think at the end they were, but I'm like, Candace was one of his closest friends. What are you talking about? Like, they were trying to get young black men and women signed up to vote. That's just not true.
Don't think so.
So you're just unaware? Like, do you know who Candace Owens is?
Yes.
They have Blexit. That's part of TPUSA. Blexit is all about having young black people part of the conservative movement. So that totally defeats what you just said.
Voter ID is racist, yeah? Like, should you need an ID to vote?
No, I don't think so, no.
Is it racist that CVS asks you for an ID to buy Sudafed?
Well, I think that there are certain people that should not be allowed to buy Sudafed, so I think it's a good idea.
So it's more important that you use an ID to buy Sudafed, but not to vote for the person that runs this country?
I'm not exactly sure.
I'm here because as a country, we've always welcomed the immigrant. And it breaks my heart to see how people are being treated with such cruelty. And instead of obeying the laws that we have in our land.
Beefed up by lies like claiming that you are the majority. You aren't.
And we immigrants, we love this country often more than the people who are born here. Because we chose to move here. Here's the math that they are scared of. There are more of us than there are of them. We are the majority. Say it with me. We are the majority. They're not loud enough today, Jesus. Come on, louder. We are the majority.
In fact, given that roughly 7 million people attended 2,700 rallies nationwide, these Soros Rockefeller globalist parasite-funded events barely scratched 2% of the U.S. population. Now that number has been adjusted to 2 to 3 million. That isn't even 1%. 99% of Americans stayed home. Why is that?
I, Mark Carney, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, his heirs and successors.
Like the BTK killer, throngs of psychopathic boomers that look like your neighbor left their comfy suburban enclaves, keyed up on psychotropics, Mockingbird media, and big pharma booster shots, descending on America to celebrate their homicidal intent for anyone that disagrees with their propaganda, brainwashed vomiting of anti-American drivel.
You gotta grab a gun! We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system! These ICE agents gotta get shot and wiped out! this state, the state machinery, that's a full display right there, has to get wiped out.
Alan Trump get guillotined or Luigi Mangione?
Guillotine.
That would be so beautiful.
Guillotine.
Can we get a little waterboarding first?
Yeah. we want to watch it just go chop and then the blood to go spurt and the head to fall and roll.
Oh. Guillotine or waterboard?
Guillotine.
Will he shave his head first?
No, I want to see the hair roll.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Yes, no Kings. I know we all pretty much forgot about it already. It was only three days ago, but it hasn't had much of a lasting impact, you could say. But I do want to go to this video, clip number 9 here, because I think this person, I'm not her biggest fan. Her name's like Ungar Sargon or something. I'm not this lady's biggest fan. She's a little anti-white in this statement, but. That being said, I think she summed up the No Kings rally really better than anybody else I've heard and just sort of shut the whole thing down in this one little clip. So I got to show it. Clip number 9. Here is this Ungar Sargon lady, but she totally kills it here. Let's watch.
These protests were overwhelmingly white. They were overwhelmingly elderly people, older people. Now, again, you know, white boomers have the right to have a mass therapy session about the fact that Donald Trump won. But to call it a No Kings protest, to act like he is a king, is so utterly preposterous. This is a man who won the popular vote. He won every swing state. He is a person who is enacting the exact agenda he promised he was going to enact while he was campaigning. And so what they are actually protesting is the absolute perfection of American democracy, where a person campaigned on an agenda, won the popular vote, and is now enacting that agenda. So it was actually a protest of democracy, all of which is to say the only way to greet such a preposterous proposition, calling this a No Kings rally when it's actually an anti-democracy rally, is to crap on it. I'm sorry, is to basically make fun of it. And I think that that has been the Trump administration's approach. They didn't try to stop it, God forbid, because he's not a king. They allowed them to have their say. They allowed them to go out there, and then they made fun of them. Have you?
I think that's brilliant. And, of course, he's exactly right. It was a protest against the Democratic results of the election. Not that they're challenging the election results. That's, you know, they're not allowed to do that. But they just don't like the outcome, so they're protesting it. It really does mean nothing, and making fun of it really is the best answer. And because Trump made fun of it, that's what they're crying about. Of course, CNN and all the leftists are outraged that Trump posted a couple memes. How dare he? Just like, wow, really, really not proving your point here about him being a tyrant, him being tyrannical. MSM caught portraying 2017 gatherings as No King protest, which, again, it just shows you. And whether or not that's even, again, I've heard that debated, but it just shows you that, yeah, 2017, they did the same thing. They're just crying because they lost the election. That is genuinely what it is. So I want to talk a little bit more about just sort of the deep state hurdles that we still have to get through to get justice, because they are numerous and disturbing. I'm very disturbed at how some of the things are going. There's some good news. There's some moves forward that I want to highlight as well. But as I just laid out, the Biden judge overseeing the James Comey trial is already showing favorability towards him, even though what he's doing is not exactly ethical, bringing in people actually involved in the crime to be his lawyer as an attempt to stop them from testifying would seem like the type of thing that would violate some sort of ethics clause or would be the purview of the judge to step in and stop that. They're instead allowing him to do that and not stopping him. So already we've got trouble there. When it comes to John Bolton, we have another issue. Representative Andy Ogles sounds the alarm after Obama appointed anti-Trump judge Ted Ching Chong, assigned to oversee John Bolton case. The same Obama-appointed judge who blocked President Trump's travel ban, ruled against Elon Musk and Doge, and gutted safeguards for chemical abortions, Judge Theodore D. Ching Chong has now been assigned to oversee the explosive John Bolton case. I actually just don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's funnier the way I do it. Judge Ted Ching Chong, an Obama appointee anti-Trump judge, has been assigned to the case against John Bolton. He already ruled against Elon Musk and Doge, and has just shown a proclivity for deciding against Trump, even when the law is in his favor. As the Gateway Pundit reported, former National Security Advisor John Bolton was indicted on 18 counts for mishandling classified information, including 8 counts of transmitting national defense information and 10 counts of unlawful retention. Prosecutors claim Bolton used his personal AOL email account to send diary-like entries to family members that contained highly sensitive national defense details from his White House tenure. The espionage of 1917 is what he's being charged under, in fact. Representative Ogles says that he actually was so concerned about Ted Chuang, this judge, he'd actually already filed to impeach him a long time ago. And he has a whole thread on this. Federal Judge Theodore Chuang, a career Democrat operative, is obstructing President Trump and protecting USAID's reckless spending. Congress must hold him accountable. Here's the case for impeachment. Judge Theodore Chuang, is that even better? I'm going to keep saying Ching Chong. That's funny. Maryland Federal District Court is mandating President Trump and Doge defy the American people's mandate by propping up USAID. This is the same USAID blowing $2 million on Guatemalan sex changes, $1.5 million on DEI in Serbia, and $47,000 on transgender opera. That's your tax dollars at work. He says, let's be clear. Unelected district judges have zero constitutional authority to dictate terms to a duly elected president on executive actions. Ching Chong's ruling is a blatant power grab, plain and simple. No surprise here. Judge Ching Chong's history is steeped in democratic activism. From 1992 to 1994, as editor of the Harvard Law Review, he championed articles pushing critical race theory, affirmative action, and a Marxist spin on America's foundation. Take, quote, Whiteness as Property, republished under Chuang's watch by Cheryl Harris, now on LA's Reparations Advisory Committee. She argued, seeing oneself as white assumes white supremacy. That is the radical ideology Chuang elevated. And it goes on and on. Back before Obama put him on the bench in 2013, Chuang was a Democratic Party stalwart, vice president of the Montgomery County District's 16 Democratic Club, all the way up until 2009. I mean, he's a Democratic partisan. That's basically it. He's a complete Democratic partisan who decides almost exclusively in favor of Democrats, even when the law, you know, obviously goes against him. He struck down Trump's travel ban, unprofessionally leaning on Trump's tweets to misconstrue the policy, a flimsy tactic echoed by activist Ami Ali at the Supreme Court, another rogue judge that Ogles is impeaching. So they already tried to impeach him over his malfeasance when it came to Doge. And then he just lays out this pattern of this type of activity, injecting himself where he doesn't belong, interfering in executive orders that he shouldn't actually have any purview over. But Democrats will use their power to whatever extent you allow them. So that's what they're trying to do. So again, you've got the very important issue of the judges who are bringing these cases. I mean, again, you really have to understand how thoroughly infected our government system is. There's just more and more evidence every single day. But you've got the head of the CIA collaborating with the head of the FBI and the president of the United States, along with the leading contender for the, you know, Democratic ticket, Hillary Clinton, to create a fake Steele dossier to try to destroy Donald Trump. And now that it's been almost 10 years and the people who did that are actually being held to account to some degree for it, you've got the prosecutors refusing to prosecute. Trump has to bring his own people. Now the judges who are being assigned, randomly, I guess, to these cases, just happen to be Democrat partisan activists who almost certainly will rig the proceedings in the favor of the Democrats in any way that they can. And judges have gigantic discretion on just about anything ever. Okay, take a look at what they did to InfoWars, what they did to Mike Lindell. Now, these are sort of smaller and very different cases than what's being brought in Washington, D.C., but the latitude that the judges have to operate is not diminished at all. And if you want to know how this actually works, I suggest you read the classic Dark Alliance by Gary Webb, where his sort of first foray into the clandestine, murky world of CIA drug dealing was about the corrupt judges that were put in place to screw up and, you know, sabotage the trials for people that were working with the CIA, running drugs, getting caught. Then they go to trial, and then the CIA makes sure a good judge is there who won't allow certain evidence in, who will restrict what's allowed to be presented to the jury, what's not, you know, how the whole thing will go. I mean, if you have a judge, you can rig a trial. The jury, you know, has a say, but that can be limited or even just tossed out. In the case of, again, Mike Lindell and InfoWars, the jury was just play actors. They were just there to decide how guilty we were. The guilt was established by the judge in a completely fraudulent manner. So this is why, like, I've been going so hard the whole time Trump has been in office saying we got to do something. We got to get rid of these judges, not just because they're getting in the way of Trump's, you know, correcting of the course and actually being able to implement the policies he got elected on. That's a big issue. But it's like they can't be in office when we need really important decisions being made. We can't just get mad at them about this decision and then when it's reversed, forget about the first judge. No, the first judges need to be removed. They need to be impeached. Whatever method needs to be used to clear the way to actually get justice needs to happen. Because I'm telling you, we need to have some sort of contingency plan. Of course, I was saying this before Trump got elected, you know, asking how long are we going to wait? How long are we going to give him? How long are we going to be patient until we have to do something else? Because we don't have an infinite amount of time. We've already spent over, you know, sort of a quarter of the time that we have, because we only have 2 years really until the midterms that we can be sure of. After that, who knows, could be Democrat-led House. They'll impeach Trump, and that's it for the Trump administration as far as effectively, you know, maneuvering in America. So it's already been more than 6 months. We only had 2 years in the first place. So, you know, we're reaching the halfway done of our time deadline. And so far we've got one moderate indictment of James Comey that's already hitting speed bumps. Got one minor indictment of Letitia James, which seems like a sure run thing, but we'll see about that. We've got DOJ suggestions for going after Jack Smith and John Brennan, but they haven't been officially charged yet. And then we have John Bolton having been charged, but we're seeing that a Biden judge who is just pathologically dedicated to the Democratic cause is overseeing that and will likely mess things up in one way or another. Even though as a Democrat, he should despise John Bolton. These people don't actually believe anything, as we keep reminding you. So all of this stuff is very concerning and just shows, again, the intensity with which the Trump administration needs to be handling all of this, that you can't just let these judges get away with screwing all of this up, because they will. And when that happens, what are we going to do? I mean, if we're sitting here a year from now and James Comey has somehow, you know, slithered out of his indictment and not actually been, you know, punished for anything, if all of this sort of comes to nothing, like, what are we going to do? Because this isn't a matter of accusations needing to be proven in court. We know what they did verbatim, black and white, in their own words. Again, the frustration of investigation after investigation. Oh, we're launching this task force and this committee. We know exactly what they did. We know who did it, how they did it, why they did it. Why are we investigating? Why are the charges not laid? And again, it's just not a matter of, like, trusting the system and then adhering to whatever outcome the system decides. We know the truth. We know the reality. Now it's a question of whether the system is capable of delivering us justice or if it's not. It's not a question of whether it would be just to throw Comey in prison. He deserves to go to prison. There is no argument, no real argument otherwise. He broke the law in so many different ways. It's like insane that we even have to have the discussion. Insane we have to have a lot of these discussions, to be honest with you. But this isn't a matter of waiting for the court to judge the trial and then determine guilt or innocence. He is guilty. We know that he's guilty. So what do we do if our system is incapable of holding these people to account? What are we going to do if it turns out that despite all the protestations otherwise, some of these people really are effectively above the law? What do we do then? We're just going to live in a country where those serving the system are above the law, but everybody else is subject to it, of true established anarcho-tyranny, where every one of us, regular people, are subject to the most insane, restrictive, hardline laws that they can throw at us, but they get to commit treason and walk away scot-free, write a book about it, make millions. This is the Trump administration is not the last gasp of America. It's the last gasp of this government structure. It's the last opportunity for them to prove to us that it's worth upholding and that's worth continuing and that it's worth fighting for. The Trump administration's big challenge here is not, you know, keeping a lid on America so we don't pop off. It's proving their own worth, their own value, and the value of the entire American system. If we can't get justice from all that us Trump supporters have been through, from everything that we've done to fight and succeed in this impossible task, if we can't get justice for the crimes that we know, absolutely know these people have committed, what are we going to do? Maybe we should start thinking about that right now. Maybe we give it a year. I mean, what would you say? The indictments started coming in sort of at the end of February, or I'm sorry, the end of September. Next September, should we reconvene? Next September, should we get together and if these people haven't been convicted or if more people haven't been charged, should we come up with something else? Because obviously, the system has failed. And when the government is at odds with the well-being of its people, it's not just the right, but the duty of every freeborn man to overthrow that government and replace it with something that does. Should we give it a year? Is that too lenient? Probably take your calls on that in the third hour. We have a lot of other stories that have to do with the stupidity of, I mean, we're really in this like the old lady that swallowed the fly. Like, we've caused problems for ourselves, and then to solve those problems, we cause more problems for ourselves, and it's just this cycle that we're trapped in. So I've got like four different stories about the way that race is basically being used to screw over white people and, you know, native people of this country in like a variety of different ways. I want to get to that in just a second, but let's for the moment stick with the topic at hand, which is the wholesale sedition, treason, deep state crimes that were committed right out in front of everybody. Let's go to clip number 26 here. How a secret group of people were able to overthrow the election in 2020, courtesy of Mark Zuckerberg. Again, all of this stuff, they did out in the open. They did under the color of law, but all of it was in abject violation of the statutes that are there to dictate the government's behavior in these instances. So when it came to mail-in ballots, they were implemented outside of the process. They didn't go through the correct system that they're supposed to go through to change these rules. The rules about elections are supposed to be handled by the state legislature, and if they want to change the rules, they want to add mail-in ballots, if they want to have drop boxes, they're supposed to go through a process because you're supposed to ensure that such changes will be implemented in a safe, secure, and effective way. So you want people arguing about it. You want people debating it. You want people bringing up issues well, if we do this, you know, how are we going to protect against this? If we have mail-in ballots, how are we going to confirm that it's the right people that we're mailing in? You want to have that back and forth so that if a change gets implemented, all of these things have been considered and, you know, accounted for as laws implemented. That's not what they did. They just, by fiat, had secretaries of state say, we are now doing mail-in ballots. We are now going to have drop boxes on every corner. And we have absolutely no way of guaranteeing that any vote cast is the one that gets counted, or if anybody sends in their vote, it actually gets to the right place. In fact, they put in, you know, restrictions and policies that deliberately made it impossible to actually tell if your vote was counted. And in some cases, like in Detroit, and I'm sure elsewhere, but Detroit is where the leaked audio is from, they actually trained the vote counters, the election poll workers, to take mail-in ballots, even if the person shows up in person, even if the voter shows up, says, I did not mail a ballot in, I'd like to vote today, then the official instruction to the poll workers was allow them to vote on a temporary ballot and then throw that ballot in the trash and count whatever ballot was mailed in. Even if the person themselves, verbatim in their own words, told the people, I did not send in a ballot, it didn't matter. If there was a ballot with their name on it that got sent in, that was the one that counted. And you tricked the person by acting like they were allowed to vote, and you throw their vote in the trash and count the one that was sent in, even though they said not to. One of the many instances of the ways that the 2020 election was absolutely rigged. At this point, it's obvious because the vote total that was astronomically high in 2020 went back to normal in 2024. Gee, how does that happen? Let's go to clip 26 now.
I want to ask about what, if you've changed position on what happened in the 2020 election.
Oh, I think it was rigged.
You think it was rigged?
Yeah, I know more now than I did then.
What do you know?
You have to do is in February of 2021, there was a Time magazine article that was published, and it was about Mark Zuckerberg investing $500 million in a Get Out the Democrat Vote campaign. And they focused on the swing states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and they focused, and what they did is they basically did what I would refer to as agency capture, and they went in and they captured the county clerks and the secretaries of states in these states, and they basically said, we have a get out the vote campaign program, and if you will implement it exactly the way that we say that you must implement it, we will give you massive amounts of money to run your elections.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not run it the way that we say, then we can claw all that money back. Well, think about it. If you're a small county in Wisconsin and you get $300,000 from Mark Zuckerberg's foundation to make sure that there are drop boxes in your Democrat heavy areas, that there are, that you've got an RV going around and hauling people into the polling places to vote. When you do that, if you do not carry out, you take that money, you sign that contract, and you do not do exactly what that foundation said, you were going to have to use public money to pay it back, you most likely would have ended up in prison. I mean, that's just one example of the way that the election was rigged. The Mark Zuckerberg money was huge. $500 million concentrated in Democrat counties for the purpose of getting out the Democrat vote.
How do you know it was to get the Democrat vote out? Because how does it exactly do? What are the mechanics of that, of how it functioned?
You just have to read the article. Okay. And what the article does is it lays it out, and the title is something along the lines of how a secret group of people were able to save the 2020 election, meaning how were they able to get Joe Biden elected?
They literally rigged it right out in front of everybody. We know exactly who did it and how they did it. We just haven't had justice yet, in part because, you know, Jack Smith was appointed to go after the people that were actually investigating this stuff. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest issues when it comes to the deep state are Russiagate, the 2020 election, COVID-19, and January 6th. And there are more. There are a lot more if we want to get into it. But I think these are the four things we need to get justice on. And it seems like Trump is moving forward on all of these fronts. The problem is the deep state swamp creatures are still in control of the DOJ. They're still the prosecutors. They're still the judges. Solve that problem first.
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday.
know, my dad and mother. Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the surgeons. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at TheologyShore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
I don't ever do testimonials, but I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or somebody?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. Well, they're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. This is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heinbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke, the first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... though she came on the show like 6 months ago. And she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty claims. Love you, Charlotte. So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. They're the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to thealexjonesstore.com customers and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally 5 stars, it's going 4.5, is our Ultra Methylene Blue. So get Ultra Methylene Blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're here documenting the shadow war being waged by the Trump administration, and the deep state still very much in control and in operation in Washington, D.C. Got some breaking news on that. Before we go to it, I want to go to clip 28 here. As I mentioned, you've got the 2020 election being stolen. I think we have to get justice for that. Obviously, COVID-19, the lockdowns, the mail-in ballots, these are all tied in together, right? Without COVID-19, you don't have the 2020 election being stolen. Without the election being stolen, you don't have the January 6th set up. Without the January 6th set up, you don't have all the malicious malicious persecutions of Trump supporters. It's all very much tied in together. But 2020 election, COVID-19, Russiagate, and January 6th. Here's Ed Martin talking about the full-scale investigation into the January 6th committee that he has launched. Clip 28.
Real quick, what about the January 6th committee? Did they destroy evidence? Is there criminality there?
Of course. Of course, we're all in that too. And trust me, a lot of people did not get a pardon that were involved in the select committee, and they ought to be keeping an eye on their mailbox, because there's to be asked about.
And the pardons that were given out were done by an auto pen. Are they legitimate?
Well, I'm the pardon attorney, so I'm in that too. I can tell you we're investigating how the pardons were granted. It was not like anything in the history of America. What his staffers did, not just with the auto pen, but with faking him out on the memos. More to come, Maria. I'm telling you, Pam Bondi has let us loose, and when this comes out, it'll take the whole of these people's hoaxes down, and we're doing it bit by bit, and it's fantastic. It's a great privilege.
Unbelievable.
So there's Ed Martin. Talking about going after the January 6th committee, which they should go after them. They held a fake show trial, primetime TV. They brought in like producers from ABC and Netflix to put on this big show trial where they only allowed, in effect, the prosecution to present evidence and didn't even allow the accused a chance to defend themselves. They did that. They carried that out in front of the world. Why would we let them get away with that? You know, all these things very deeply intertwined, but it represents the ongoing war to reclaim our sovereignty from the unelected deep state that is systematically destroying the United States, like piece by piece. It's not even subtle the way they're doing it. It's just very effective because nobody knows, because the mainstream doesn't report on it, because they're in on it, by the way. Here's the breaking news, just in line with everything else that we're talking about. Clinton judge to decide whether Lindsey Halligan will be disqualified as U.S. attorney after Comey files motion challenging her appointment. U.S. District Judge Cameron Curry, a Clinton appointee, which is crazy. She's been a judge for 30 years at this point. Will decide whether Lindsey Halligan will be disqualified as U.S. attorney after Comey filed a motion challenging her lawsuit. Former FBI Director James filed a motion to dismiss his federal criminal case on Monday, claiming it's vindictive persecution. He also challenged the appointment of U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan. The temerity of these people. I'll explain to you the details of this, but continuing in this Gateway Pundit story. On Tuesday, the chief judge of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Comey's motion challenging Halligan to be transferred to Judge Cameron McGowan Curry, a Clinton appointee, quote, pursuant to the October 21st, 2025 order of Chief Judge Albert Diaz of the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, attached hereto, is hereby ordered that the motion challenging the qualification of the current interim United States attorney in the above entitled action is hereby transferred to the Honorable Cameron McGowan Curry, Senior United States District Judge of the District of South Carolina, the order read. So, James Comey is basically saying that, one, his indictment is the result of malicious persecution, and that this was carried out by Lindsey Halligan, who doesn't have standing and shouldn't be allowed to bring the cases that she's bringing. Now, the article doesn't, you know, get into the details of why Comey was claiming that, so I went ahead and went to Grok to try to figure this out. Primary grounds for disqualification are as follows. Comey's attorney argued that Halligan's appointment is unlawful and defective, rendering the indictment against him invalid. His key arguments include the violations of the appointments clause. Halligan's role as interim U.S. attorney was appointed by President Trump without Senate confirmation, bypassing constitutionally required procedures. This allegedly allows the executive branch to evade congressional oversight by chaining together subsequent 120-day interim appointments after the previous interim, Eric Siebert, had already served the legal limit. They claim this, quote, taints the structural integrity of the grand jury process, as Halligan alone presented the case and signed the indictment, which she could not have done without her unlawful title, making the entire indictment a nullity. Nullity. Nullity, they're saying. Now, interestingly, this is the exact case that I make with Jack Smith, because Jack Smith didn't go through the process of being confirmed by the Senate, but he wasn't an interim appointee, which Halligan is. And this is especially rich because the previous interim appointee, Eric Siebert, is married to the daughter of one of James Comey's children's grandfather, godfather. You know, a little bit confusing, but not really. James Comey has a daughter. Her godfather, his daughter, is married to this Eric Siebert guy. Like, they're one degree of separation away. They are beyond family friends. I have a lot of family friends. My kids don't have a lot of godfathers, right? There's only a few that are that important. Usually it's like a family member. This is as close as you can get without actually being blood related. So they put this guy in as an interim prosecutor. He slow walks the whole thing, refuses to charge out of sheer desperation and necessity because they are 5 days away from the expiration of the statute of limitations on this charge. Trump puts in somebody who can just get it done, and she gets it done. And now they're trying to challenge her appointment, even though they were happy to allow Eric Siebert that appointment because he was covering up for Comey. He was subverting the process on behalf of Comey. Like that, I don't know how you don't have additional charges on top of that. Again, just to lay it out, I know I've already said it today, I don't mean to repeat myself, but if you've got a guy who's, this is his job, he is a professional prosecutor who has been instructed by the president that we all voted for, James Comey has committed crimes, you should indict him in a grand jury. The chief executive of the country gave him that order, and in response, he just didn't do that. He just pretended to be trying, but claimed that there was no possibility of getting an indictment, something that was disproven overtly when Lindsey Halligan gets an indictment in 5 days. He spent 9 months acting like it wasn't possible. And again, people in the media are still treating it like it's up for debate. Well, you know, he said there wasn't sufficient evidence to get an indictment. Okay, that doesn't matter. There is an indictment. So there obviously was sufficient evidence. So if he says there wasn't, it's not, he may be right, he may be wrong. No, he's lying. We know he's wrong. 100%. Incontrovertible. He was lying about not there not being enough evidence to get an indictment. How do you not have charges for that guy? How do you not get a warrant for the communications of James Comey to see if he's in communication with Eric Siebert, his close family friend? I don't understand how they get away with this stuff so persistently. So we'll see if this indictment even sticks, because they've got a Democrat judge who probably on their payroll, probably it doesn't even need to be on their payroll. Remember, we are beyond the time of explicit conspiracy. We are now in the age of de facto conspiracy. We are now of the age where you don't have to coordinate necessarily one-on-one. You don't have to be handing over bags of money in a parking garage somewhere or coordinate things in a smoke-filled room with your fellow conspirators. They are all just on the same page. They all just understand almost by nature just what they're supposed to do. So you've got these judges who, you know, clearly, I mean, unless, you know, it's like they know what's going on. And we just have to hope that these are judges who just actually have a foot in reality at least, and have the ability to recognize the real threat to the American system that the folks like James Comey represent, and are able and willing to uphold their oath and have the honor to fulfill their obligation to serve as unbiased arbiters of the law. I don't have a lot of hope in that. I think it's much more likely that these judges, just like so many teachers and grandparents and other people we saw at the No Kings rally, probably think that Trump's a tyrant and a dictator, and that, you know, they can use their position and their role in order to destroy him. Kind of like we saw the foreman of the grand jury that indicted Trump, who just goes on TV and is giddy and is just like, I just wanted to meet the president. So we indicted him. And it's like, she didn't have to coordinate with anybody. She just has absorbed the transmission and then does as she, you know, as her inclinations tell her. Trump's evil. I'm in a position to hurt him. I will use my position to hurt him. That's as far as their thought process goes. And if you think American judges are somehow above this bias, you haven't been paying attention even a little bit. Guys, bring up that story again, because so far all I've seen is that Comey questioned it. This is saying that the judge herself is questioning Lindsey Halligan-led prosecution's approach. U.S. District Judge Michael Nachmanoff noted that the government previously failed to raise an issue it suddenly chose to press. Will y'all print that one out for me? I want to read that. It sounds to me from that headline like they're actually taking the fact that Eric Siebert refused to try to indict Comey as an excuse for why he shouldn't have been indicted, even though we know now there was a conflict of interest and that he could have indicted at any point because Halligan did and succeeded. So I'd like to see how they're trying to twist that story. I'm very interested in that. So as soon as I get that, I'll read it here. We got a lot of other sort of government stories here. Actually, I have some pretty interesting stuff from Julie Kelly that is in line with all this. So I'll get to that here while we wait for that story. Julie Kelly says this when it comes to this judge deciding on Halligan's appointment. The judge from the Comey case already making it clear, thank you, he will nitpick everything from the Trump DOJ to the point of sounding absurd. This is from Judge Michael Nachmanoff's order yesterday denying U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan's request to expedite approval of a filter team to review potentially privileged material in the case. This is what we were covering earlier, where the judge is already making decisions in favor, right? Comey racks up his first win of this conflict, and that was the judge refusing to allow the filter board to determine whether or not the people that James Comey is hiring as lawyers would be called as witnesses or should be, for some other reason, forced to recuse themselves from the proceedings. Keep in mind, Patrick Fitzgerald was brought on board on September 29th. Comey was arraigned on October 8th, which Nachmanoff set a motion schedule with October 20th deadline. Halligan's first motion related to a filter team was on October 13th, and then entered a motion to expedite on October 19th, yet Nachmanoff expected the DOJ to prepare a proposal for a filter team immediately, before the indictment, before the arraignment, because the government, not under Trump, mind you, has had the evidence pursuant to another investigation for years. Nachmanoff's claims Fitzgerald's conflict was obvious years ago because of the 2019 DOJ IG report identifying him as a conduit in Comey's leak of confidential and in some cases classified information. This is absurd, and it reminds me of the time Judge Chutkan told Trump's attorneys in the J6 cases they should have been reading discovery evidence in the case before the indictment to prepare for the trial, referring to the January 6th committee report and news coverage. Hopefully a motion to recuse is forthcoming. So if you don't understand what she's saying, she's basically saying that the judge, just like in the Alex Jones case, just like in the Mike Lindell case, is demanding the impossible from the DOJ. This judge, whoever it is, I guess Patrick Fitzgerald in this case, or I guess this is Nachmanoff, expecting the DOJ to prepare a proposal for the filter team immediately before the indictment. So he's basically saying, well, if you wanted this to be done, you should have had the proposal ready with the indictment, even though you couldn't have known about this before the indictment. It just doesn't make any sense. It shows a willingness to bend the rules in favor of James Comey. It shows a willingness to give James Comey any break he could want and to saddle the DOJ with impossible to achieve demands. Again, to the extent, this is from the statement from this judge, Michael Nachmanoff. To the extent that the government expresses concerns about adhering to the schedule set by the court at arraignment, the court notes that the government has had the material at issue in its possession for several years and apparently failed to seek any guidance with respect to a filter protocol at any time before October 13th, 2025. So what does that mean? You're not going to do it now just because you waited until the indictment was on the table? So because the Biden administration didn't seek, you know, request on this, we're just witnessing a cover up in real time. We're witnessing a conspiracy in real time to allow James Comey to get away with his blatant crimes. Honestly, that's all I'm seeing here. That's what I'm witnessing. And it just, again, just seems like from a layman's view, it's pretty obvious what happened here. James Comey's family friend refuses to indict him. He almost got away with it 5 days before the deadline. They brought in Lindsey Halligan. Now Comey's questioning Halligan's appointment. Judges are allowing him to choose lawyers that are actually witnesses. He's not letting the DOJ, you know, fulfill their function by demanding that they go back in time and, you know, ask for advice on things they weren't even aware they would need until the indictment was filed. It's abusive process. That's what this is. That's what we're witnessing. Here's the story I asked the crew to grab. Judge in Comey case questions Lindsey Halligan-led prosecution's approach. Federal judge has rejected another early motion from the Justice Department in James Comey's criminal case, as was true of a ruling siding with former director, the FBI director last week. The latest decision also questions the approach taken by the Lindsey Halligan-led DOJ team. While last week's order said Halligan's discovery proposal would cause needless delay, Monday's order from U.S. District Judge Michael Nachmanoff rejected the DOJ's request for an expedited ruling on how potentially sensitive evidence is processed through what is known as a filter protocol. Okay, so last week he was saying he refused the DOJ's request because it would delay for too long. Now the DOJ is requesting an expedited process. And he's saying no. So, oh, you're going too slow, that case. But in this case, you're going too fast. Just whatever he needs to decide to benefit James Comey. Halligan, who lacks prior prosecutorial experience, and her team, two DOJ prosecutors from North Carolina, made the motion to expedite the day before Comey's two big motions were due Monday. In those motions, he's seeking to dismiss the case based on what he says is the unlawfulness of Halligan's appointment in Virginia and the selective and vindictive nature of his prosecution. The DOJ will respond to those next month. The prosecution's failed motion sought a speedy ruling on the government's proposed implementation of a filter protocol, which the DOJ said is needed quickly to avoid potential delay. It said the evidence for filter review, quote, could also inform a potential conflict and disqualification issue for the current lead defense counsel, Patrick Fitzgerald. Rejecting the expedition request on Monday, Nachmanoff suggested that any undue delay was the government's fault. Opposing the motion, Fitzgerald and the rest of Comey's defense team said the effort to, quote, defame lead defense counsel provides no basis to grant the motion. They said the DOJ's claim that the defendant used Fitzgerald, quote, to improperly disclose classified information and the implication that Fitzgerald and Comey engaged in criminal activity by doing so is, quote, provably false and in any event provides no basis to grant the motion to expedite. But of course it does. Of course it does. How can you have this guy working on the case for an extended period if he has to recuse himself later? Wouldn't you want that expedited so that you can get a lawyer who's not going to be forced to recuse? But why would you not want to expedite that? Even if he says there's no grounds to it and would be rejected, wouldn't you also want it done quickly so you can just get down to business with your, you know, the filter allowing you to do this? In his footnote, the Biden appointee wrote that the DOJ, quote, has had the material at issue in its possession for several years and apparently failed to seek any guidance with respect to a filter protocol at any time before October 13th, 2025. Again, how would you know that you needed this filter protocol if the filter protocol is based off of Comey choosing Fitzgerald as his lead defense attorney? I don't get it. He added that the report forming the basis for the DOJ's claims about Fitzgerald was public knowledge since 2019, and yet the government failed to raise any concerns with lead counsel's representation until the filing of the government's motion to expedite on October 19, 2025. While this is only a ruling on preliminary issue in a case which the litigation is just getting started and there are much bigger rulings to come, including on Comey's motions to dismiss, the judge has not been persuaded so far by Halligan's approach. So again, yes, Halligan should not even have to do this. The fact that Trump had to put in Halligan is actually a consequence of the corruption that was already there and was trying to work behind the scenes to allow Comey off in the first place. So again, they put you in this position where either you got to let the guy who's best friends, family friends with James Comey, slow walk and prevent his indictment at all, or you fire that guy, you put somebody who will get the indictment, even though she has, as it points out, no prosecutorial experience, no experience in this at all, a total newbie, gets the indictment in 5 days. Again, I will say, proving to me incontrovertibly that the failure to indict previously was the result of a conspiracy or deliberate sabotage on the part of Eric Siebert. It has to be. But because he slow walked it, because they had to put in Lindsey Halligan, now that's a big issue. Now that's, you know, trouble. That's as if Trump, you know, is breaking the rules to just get what he wants done. No, they're cheating, and Trump is trying to obey the rules and still bring justice. But we'll see. But we'll see how it goes. It's just insane. There's so many other stories that I could be spending time on, but it's just, it's all stuff that's just like, why does this even exist in the first place? We've got the headline, Texas fines thousands of illegal immigrants registered to vote on state voter rolls. A Texas election review has identified thousands of illegal immigrants on the state's voter rolls, Texas Secretary of State Jane Nelson said Monday. Nelson said a cross-check of state voter records found that more than 2,700 possible illegal aliens were registered on the voter rolls, leading to an eligibility review across 254 counties. The data comes from a full comparison of Texas's 18 million registered voters against federal citizenship records in the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services SAVE database, according to the Secretary of State office. And this type of stuff is presented like, okay, it's good that they found this, but it's like, the point is, how was this the case anyway? How are there thousands of illegal immigrants on the voter rolls apparently able to vote in our elections? How did it get to be there? This article from Yahoo sort of treats it like an accident. It's sort of reporting it like something that just sort of occurs, just a naturally occurring phenomenon, like they'd report on, I don't know, an avalanche, just something that just, it happens, and here's what happened, and now we just have to deal with it. You don't accidentally register to vote. You don't accidentally break the law. You especially don't do it nearly 3,000 times. Okay? So who broke the law? Who violated the process? Who registered these illegal immigrants illegally? And when are they going to be held to account? We got a lot of justice. We got a lot of justice to achieve, folks. We're barely getting started. But I read out yesterday, U.S. Code 10, U.S. Code 16, whatever it was, in black and white, it says if you help immigrants get in this country, help conceal them while they're in this country, help them conceal them in this country for profit, it's even worse. All of these are federal crimes that demand 5 to 10 years in prison. Why is every single Democrat NGO helping to subvert our laws not being charged with this and put in jail for 10 to 15 years? Why is every CEO whose entire operation runs on the blood money of illegal immigration, why are they not being thrown into prison? Why are we not firing on all cylinders and getting everybody we possibly can? And hell, if they put up a defense and are able to be declared not guilty of the charges, then great. Put them through the process first. Make them defend themselves. It doesn't work, it doesn't work. But till you try, it's your fault that this has gone on. Trump and his administration, where is the seriousness? Where are the indictments? Where are they? Nobody gave a right. Nobody passed a law to allow Alejandro Mayorkas to open up our border. Congress never approved the CBP One app to allow people to click the I'm seeking asylum button and therefore be allowed into this country. They broke the law. They committed treason. Where are the indictments for the actual crimes? Not the lying to cover up the crimes, the actual treason. Where are the indictments?
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. I was planning on taking your calls this hour, but I might just power through some of these stories because we haven't gotten to Israel. We haven't gotten to the censorship stuff. We haven't gotten to what's happening in Ireland. That's a big story, too. Ireland has been sort of ground zero of the probably the most aggressive push for mass immigration we've seen in Europe so far, which is saying something. And of course, it's having the very predictable consequences of little Irish girls being raped by migrants who are being forced into their neighborhood. So big backlash to that. And the Irish people are not exactly taking this lying down. So I really want to go to that and talk about that this hour. You know what? I'm going to change my mind. We're going to go to clip 25 here. We're going to go to clip 25 because I mentioned this yesterday, but I didn't actually play it. And this is from Wars of the Info. Wars of the Info on X just came out with a full-fledged musical production featuring Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Chase Geyser, yours truly. And it's really something else. He, of course, does a lot of the AI for our commercials, and he put together this. It says, live from Las Vegas, follow him on X at Wars of the Info. And take a little musical interlude here. And then when we get back, we'll hit the news about the rape and the censorship and the genocide and all of the horrible stuff. But for now, a quick break on this Tuesday evening to watch Wars of the Info's production live from Las Vegas. Let's watch.
Live from the Copa Room at the Sands Hotel and Casino in fabulous Las Vegas, we bring you Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, and surprise special guests tonight only. So sit back, pour yourself a drink, and enjoy the show.
They try to shut me down because I speak the truth. InfoWars for elders, InfoWars for the youth. 30 years on the air, exposing evil lies, making people of voraces open up their eyes. Funded by the listeners, t-shirts and that, supplements, water filters. We got all of that. Remember, the bone broth, and I eat my neighbors. I like to have fun. You know, I flip many flavors. When I did the Cobra skit, that got a lot of laughs. Everywhere I go, people want my autograph. Snap a flick, take a pic, and they tell me I was right. The Bethesda playing goblins here lurking in the night. See me talking with Tucker on a visit to Maine. Rob Dew, he's my crew, flew up on the plane. But this ain't Tattoo or no Fantasy Island. I'm dropping truth bombs on a microphone style. And I get in this bone with my man Roger Stone. I'm bad to the bone when I expose all the clones. Government madness, scientific schemes. Depopulation is their number one dream. They don't the great reset, it's all been exposed. I got the real shit, don't take no bros. Take Turbo Force, oh wait, it's out of stock. Maybe I should make myself an Alex Jones clock. Every album on the album, he yells as a reminder to hit the Alex Jones for you. You couldn't be kinder. Buy your friend a shirt or maybe a subscription. Get them hooked up on a Seymour's addiction. Word to Chase Geyser and Harrison Smith. Rihanna in the morning, yo. Who you down with, the good or the bad? The choice is yours. It's like Budweiser, Miller, or even a cause. Domestic or imported, news gets distorted. But one thing's for sure, my mission's not aborted. If they shut down InfoWars, it's only a name. Alex Jones Network, that's
that's the new game. Try to take me down with the Sandy Hook crap. Heard about the First Amendment. What's up with that? I can't question something I thought looked suspicious. Damn, the deep state is nothing but vicious. Shifting all the laws just to fit their agenda. See, I'm the real sugar, and it's just some splendor. The people all know that took the time to listen. That I'm out here full throttle on a truthful mission. MC Alex Jones, watch the mic like no other. Now hit the website and buy your war bond, brother.
Absolutely incredible work from Wars of the Info. Keep it rolling, fellas. I like the music. Might not be able to take us out, but it'll get us almost there. Folks, you gotta go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. Bovine Colostrum Plus is back in stock. It sold out incredibly quickly, and it'll probably sell out again. So make sure to go today, thealexjonesstore.com. And if you buy one tub of colostrum, you get another supplement 50% off while supplies last. So any other supplement 50% off with the purchase of Bovine Colostrum Plus, giving you yet another reason to shop at thealexjonesstore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. We have a lot still to talk about today. And I want to get into... Well, let me cover this first. There really is so much. It's kind of ridiculous. We got stuff like this. Chicago area federal judges at war with Trump administration. One rules ICE agents can be arrested for deporting illegals. Another says CBP violating court orders by using tear gas. You have all these judges making these decisions. They almost all get reversed, but Trump's adhering to them. It's from Kellen McBreen, Infowars.com. Democrats are going all out to sabotage Trump's administration and stir up strife while pointing the fingers at the MAGA movement for supposedly wanting to repeat the Civil War. A pair of federal judges made rulings this week that further escalated the current split between rogue Democrats and the Trump administration. On Monday, U.S. District Judge Sarah Ellis of Chicago questioned a Customs and Border Protection official about immigration agents using tear gas against unruly demonstrators, suggesting they were violating a previous court order she issued. Which, again, you just have to wonder what even is the reasoning behind this. You know tear gas was developed and is deployed as a safe alternative to physical violence, right? The whole reason tear gas was invented and is deployed to this day is so you don't have to go out with billy clubs and beat people back, right? So what do you think is going to happen if you stop using tear gas? They're just going to have to resort to more dangerous methods. So like, it really does seem like they're trying to create the conflict that they are supposedly, you know, working to fight. Doesn't seem like that. Meanwhile, Chicago area District Judge Jeffrey Cummings ruled this week that ICE officers can be arrested for violating his previous orders and arresting illegal migrants at Cook County courthouses. The judge's orders aim to prevent what are called collateral arrests of people whom ICE officers discovered are illegal on the spot. These are migrants that ICE agents come across by happenstance while looking for somebody they have a warrant to apprehend. The Fair Administration of Justice requires that courts remain open and accessible and that litigants and witnesses may appear without fear of civil arrest. Basically, what they're saying is you're not allowed to arrest people without a warrant to arrest them, but it's not really under his jurisdiction. I actually heard, you know, Tim Pool give a good quick breakdown of this where he's basically describing like, okay, so immigration is just a federal authority. It is under the purview of the federal government. It is not a state issue. It is a federal issue. And so when Texas wanted to deport illegal immigrants, the Biden administration told them, no, you're not allowed to. That's our purview. We don't want them deported, so you can't deport them. And so Texas had to abide by that. Now Trump's in office. His administration says we are going to deport these people. And suddenly the judges come out of nowhere, absent for 4 years. Somehow we have a system where the borders can open. The scumbag, treasonous, civilizational arsonists in D.C. can open up the border and allow 10 million people to flood in, and there's nothing you can do about it. But trying to get a single one of them out is endlessly bureaucratic. It's just impossible to do. No interference, no intervention when the federal government wanted to flood our country with 10 million foreigners. Nobody stopped them. But when Trump wants to just fulfill the demands of the law as Congress has passed and have been in place for 200 years at this point, now the judges step in and have a problem with it. This is absurd. This is completely ridiculous. So it has to do with, you know, whether you get a warrant, but these people don't need warrants to get illegal immigrants out. As I've described before, every time they use the term due process, they want you to think that every immigrant is guaranteed a trial before he's deported. That's not the case. The due process to deport somebody is you confirm they're who you think they are, and then you deport them. You confirm they're not an American citizen, they're not here with permission, then you deport them. That's it. Now, they're just trying to protect illegal immigrants here, obviously. They can claim that this is about, you know, stopping Americans from being wrapped up in this. But we had with Lyman on. He talked about he was mistaken for an actual, you know, deportee target. And it took all of about 15 seconds for them to say you're under arrest, him to say, whoa, I'm an American citizen, them to say you are. Sorry, sir. Move along. No big deal. No big deal, folks. It's not an issue, honestly. They're not solving an issue. There's no issue here. They're interfering, they're interrupting, they're getting in the way of the due application of the laws on the books. Okay? All a choice. It's all a choice being made. Somehow, the scenes you're seeing on screen, these were allowed, this was paid for by us. Remember, at one point it became an embarrassment for the Biden administration, so they just cleaned it up in an afternoon because it was always possible. This is the choice that they made. So the Biden administration was allowed to actually tangibly, physically, and literally destroy our country, but attempting to expel foreigners without permission to be here is a bridge too far. Okay, great. Now, apparently 480,000 illegal immigrants have been arrested by DHS since the start of the Trump administration. 70% of them have prior criminal charges and convictions. They claim the total is upwards of about 2 million people total, including the 1.6 million self-deportations, which, again, I think they should really go harder on. I think it's actually the more effective way to do it. Offer people a free flight back. They can keep all their stuff. They just got to go home. Problem solved. If you don't do that, then you're going to be in trouble. Then it's not even going to be deportation. It's going to be work camps or something. I pitched that forever. I don't know why we aren't doing it still. Let's go to clip 7 here. This is Secretary Kristi Noem announcing some of the success that the Trump deportation policies have had.
Today marks 9 months since President Trump has been in office and since he began his work to restore American safety for our families that live here. What he has accomplished for the American people is nothing short of extraordinary. We appreciate what he has done to make us safe again, to secure our borders, and to make sure that he's protecting our people. Since January, the Department of Homeland Security has arrested over 480,000 criminal illegal aliens. 70% of those individuals have criminal charges against them or have been convicted of those criminal charges. Across the country, we're making communities safer so that families can thrive and they can prosper and they can enjoy the kind of freedom that this country was established to provide.
Over 480,000 illegal immigrants arrested by DHS and start of Trump admin, 70% have prior criminal charges. So there you go. 500,000 down, 9.5 million to go. I think we might need to step it up a little bit. I think we might need to just, you know, really get a move on if we want to actually have a major impact. I mean, I'm glad the crew was playing some of those images from the Biden administration. It's like people forget that we were literally invaded on a daily basis. Millions and millions and millions of people being brought over here deliberately, no background checks, no permission to be here, an open border. And you realize it's going to go right back to that. You realize if the Democrats get into office, not only will they open the border again for the infinite migrants available, it's infinity, by the way. Do we need to go over this again? There's no limit to the number of people that want to get into the United States. By the time you bring in a million, 3 million have been born. There is no limit. There is no maximum. There is no point to which the stream of migrants will dry up. It's never going to happen. So if the Democrats get back into office, like, this is why it's so intense that we get all of this done, that we move on all of these fronts with alacrity, with impatience. Because if the Democrats retain their power, if they're able to ride their way out of the criminal prosecutions that they so rightfully deserve to be convicted under, and if they get elected again, if they're able to rig the elections again, we're not able to get out the millions of people that are here and likely, or at least potentially, voting in our elections. They will open up the border. Everyone that arrived so far will be backdoored into citizenship. We'll never get them out after that. And we'll have another 4 years of another 10 to 12 million people on the low end. And then it's the absolute total destruction of America. So this isn't about Trump. It's not about vindictiveness. It's not about retribution. It's about the survival of our nation. And we are very, very quickly coming to a deadline, coming to the end of this brief window where Republicans and the MAGA coalition are in charge, in power, and able to do what we want. Instead, we're just sort of playing footsie with potential indictments most of the time. It's just the biggest, and, you know, honestly, it's just, it's not even a matter of like trying to make these arguments. It's just a matter of enforcing it. It's just a matter of will. It's just a matter of getting it done. Yeah, by the way, you know, it was discovered that all these states were giving out commercial driver's licenses to people who'd like never driven a car before. Really became, you know, a big issue when there was a series of major crashes by Indian illegal immigrants killing American families. So they cracked down on that. And Daily Caller has a report. More cash flows into American truckers' pockets as Trump cracks down on foreign drivers. American truckers are cheering the Trump administration's crackdown on illegal migrant drivers as not only a means to make highways safer, but also as a step to raking in more cash in markets long known for profiting off cheap foreign labor. And it's just, it's another case in which you would think the populists on both sides of the aisle would be able to get together on this. Like, the only reason the left, you know, the only argument they make about this is to try to frame wanting illegal aliens out as somehow racist, right? They just want to question your, you know, the legitimacy of your beliefs when you say, no, here's the reasons I don't want illegal aliens. They drive down wages. They drive up home prices. They take jobs from Americans. Americans shouldn't have to compete with scabs from the world, right? Worldwide scab supply is endless. And you can always find somebody willing to undercut an American who actually has a higher standard of living than 99.9% of the people in the world. I can make these arguments. The only argument they have is actually that's racist. Actually, you're just a racist and you hate brown people. And that's it. And it's absurd and it's ridiculous. But you would think if they were serious about anything that they said, just like all this other stuff, they would be on board with deporting illegals. If you want higher wages paid, if you want to defeat the billionaires that are screwing all of us over, the way they screw us over is by bringing in cheaper, more compliant individuals to take your jobs so they can pocket the difference. Are you against billionaires? You should be against immigration. Are you against capitalist exploitation? Then you should be against the system that allows the maximum amount of exploitation of poor people from all over the world who are brought to America, given something that Americans would never be satisfied with, but are so much better than the whatever they came from back home, the favela they came from in Bolivia, is trash compared to an efficiency apartment here in the States. So, of course, they're going to exploit that. Are you against that? Like, all these people, again, it's just so weird. It's like, got all these socialists that they're like, we hate the wars and we hate the, you know, exploitation of people. And it's like, okay, then are you on the right side of any issue? And they're just not. They claim to love the founding fathers. They're tearing down their statues. They claim to want to support workers, and then they bring in their replacements. It's just endless. And, you know, if they had consciousness, we could talk about this and they could actually understand what we're saying. But there's a sort of filter that our words cannot pass through. And it's the baseless assertion that any opposition to immigration must therefore be racism. And so you're not allowed to believe it. Racism is a very big issue. Like, and then I got this article. It's a good article. It's a great article, actually, from The Federalist. Don't blame ICE for enforcing law. Blame Dems for breaking it. And, you know, part of me is like, I want to go through this and I want to make the arguments about how true this is and how, you know, this is the laws on the books and it's not illegal for ICE to try to arrest people to deport them. It's just what we're supposed to do. But it's like, why do we even have to discuss this? Why should I even have to bring this up? Have you ever heard a more obvious headline in your life? Don't blame the police for enforcing laws. Blame criminals for breaking it. Yeah, duh. Duh. And it's like, is this really what we have to bring ourselves to? This level? Preschool reasoning for our fellow Americans? You don't understand that the law has to be enforced? And the people breaking the law are going to be subject to police actions. Is this really something you don't understand? And she goes through and just talks about the way these, the words being used to describe the deportations and really just the word cruel. It's cruel to enforce immigration law. Trump's cruel immigration machine, Scott Peters, California Democrat, it's cruel and wasteful. Instead of targeting real threats, the administration, you know, like white people, like white supremacy, the administration is carrying out a cruel agenda. It's not because the laws have changed, simply because the laws are being enforced. Yeah, duh. There's no nice way to deport somebody, but Trump's ICE is hosting a new cruelty Olympics. They're competing. See, who can be the most cruel about this? Just go home. Go home today. Go online. Type plane ticket to Caracas, purchase, board, go home. That's the solution. It's not cruel to enforce the law. It's not cruel not to be taken advantage of. It's cruel to the American people to disadvantage them constantly, to take advantage of them constantly, to abuse our laws, circumvent our laws, attack our police officers, and attack us for voting for people to enforce the law. That's the cruel thing. It's just beyond absurd. So it's like, you know, part of me wants to go through this. Yeah, get to Malaysia, $313. So cheap, so easy. Nobody has to kick your door in. Nobody has to haul you away in handcuffs. You don't have to go through any proceedings. You don't have to be housed in a migrant facility. None of that has to happen. Go home. Problem solved. ICE isn't going to chase you home. They're not going to chase you back to Mexico. You're free and clear. You can live in the country that you were born and raised in, that you're still a citizen of. How kind America is. You broke our laws. You took advantage of our openness. And all we do is make you go home. Can you imagine the mercy that we show? How long is that going to go on? Do you know that remittances from America mostly account for 35% of Somalia's GDP? 35% of the GDP of the country of Somalia is just money siphoned out of America and sent there by Somalians. So not only does every Somalian cost America an average of $1.2 million? That's the official, you know, account that we reported on yesterday. I've actually got it right here. From Zarathustra, in the Netherlands, they made the data public. Each Somali immigrant has been found to cost the public around $1.2 million over their lifetime, while each North American and Japanese immigrant generated a net contribution of roughly $500,000. That's in the Netherlands, probably very similar here. We have similar levels of, you know, government help, government benefits for the Somali immigrants. But let's round it off at a million. Forget that 200,000. Let's just say the lifetime contribution of every Somali in America is to just siphon $1 million of our government budget for every single individual, 92,000 of which have been brought over in the last couple of decades. On top of that, they're siphoning out enough money sent back to Somalia to make up over a third of that country's GDP. The benefit to Americans? We get Ilhan Omar calling white men evil. That's what we get. We get Omar Feta looking like a goblin on all of our TVs. That's what we get. We get increased crime rates and gangs of Somalians attacking random people at train stations. I mean, like, if you're not trying to destroy the country, why would any of these decisions be? Why would anybody allow any of this to take place? And really, you know, I would never think about it, but ever since the No Kings rally, I'm like, maybe we need a king. And maybe if I think about it, that would solve the problem. I mean, all we need, the one thing, the one solution, the one, you know, tool that could solve all of our problems is having someone in power who cares about America. It's literally it. That might sound crazy, but that's it. Somebody making decisions on the rubric of, is it good for America or not? That's it. That's all we need. Apparently, we can't get that with the people we elect. We can't get that with our Congress. We can't get that with the Senate. They can't agree on anything except that Benjamin Netanyahu is an amazing speaker, right? What if we just had somebody who looked at every policy and said, is this a deal I would make for my family? No, then I'm not doing it. It's literally it. Literally it. And if we had somebody like that, they would tax remittances. They would eliminate the temporary protected status of all these groups. They would deport most of the people that have arrived in the last 20 years. And we could thrive. And our wages would rise. And the houses would be cheaper. And the neighborhoods safer. And all of the endless resources that these populations cost us could go towards improving our lives and building infrastructure for us and raising our birth rates and making us more healthy and providing things for Americans. God only knows what we could do with the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that are being spent to babysit third world foreigners. All we need. All we need. And you know, Trump is that to a certain degree. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, he's making a lot of choices that don't benefit America. And that's unfortunate, but it's a fact of the influence of the Israeli lobby in America. What are you going to do? Now, when it comes to race, there's like a lot of stories with this. FEMA withheld federal aid from Trump supporters, DHS probe finds. Yeah, we knew that. I mean, they admitted it. Again, it's just another example. Another example. A year ago, we had it, in their own words, by their own admission, because they explained their reasoning to us. But now, over a year later, we're getting a report that says, yes, actually, they did, you know, withhold aid from Trump supporters. Yeah, we know. They explained. They said, it's like having a sign saying, beware of the dog. If a person affected by a hurricane has a Trump sign, then our people don't feel safe and won't go in there. They explained that to us as it was happening. So now a year later, we're getting a report confirming what we knew was true a year ago. Anybody going to pay for it? Anybody going to get thrown into jail for systematically withholding assistance from Trump supporters? Or are we just going to keep learning about it over and over?
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday. And with my dad and mother, Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the surgeons. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theauctionshore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. But I have been on that colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or somebody?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. Well, they're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. But this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heinbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of a mammal's milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I never really know.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue dose?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... though she came on the show like 6 months ago.
Just
and she said, I don't know if I can do it. She felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty cleans. Love you, Charlotte. So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. They're the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to the alexjonesstore.com customers and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally 5 stars, it's only 4.5, is our Ultra Methylene Blue. So get Ultra Methylene Blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Folks, final segment of The War Room is on. Please do support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Get your bovine colostrum plus. And it really has some incredible capabilities. Bovine colostrum is nature's super weapon straight from the cow's first milk. packed with elements Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about. This stuff supercharges your immune system, slamming down antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-inflammatory barriers to fend off infections, heal your leaky gut, and rebuild your intestines. It's loaded with amino acids for muscle recovery and cellular armor. You can get it now at thealexjonesstore.com. Gut repair, immune power, muscle recovery, stress support, toxin shield, and it absorbs better than other nutrients since it is all natural and zero interference from fillers. It's Bovine Colostrum Plus. It's back in stock. And if you get Bovine Colostrum Plus from thealexjonesstore.com, you get any other supplement for 50% off while supplies last. This stuff sells out quick. So go today to thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're gonna buy something anyway, go ahead and get some Bovine Colostrum Plus. You get half off whatever you're going to purchase, any other supplement there. And, of course, we have all sorts of new merchandise as well. And get it now while you can, since we are on a ticking clock and we're not quite sure when our time here on Earth expires. So work, go now. So I got to say, we've known that FEMA was discriminating against Trump supporters. I don't think we knew how much. Beep, 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 beep. The crew's pressing buttons back there. We did the Daily Dispatch already, guys. They're excited about the new AI. About the new AI, they did it again. I can hear screaming from the control room. Shout out to Reese, by the way, at PsyOp Cop. I think it's at PsyOp Cop. The PsyOp Cop, maybe, on X. But Reese, the editor from American Journal, along with Dan, put that together. It's very cool. But not for now. Not for right now. So I admit, we've known for a while that FEMA discriminated against Trump supporters. This report actually is a big deal. It's actually way worse than we even suspected. And I can't wait for people to go to jail over this. I can't wait. Yeah, the PsyOp Cop. Reese at the PsyOp Cop. So this article from Financial Times, I think. Department of Homeland Security said on October 21st that a wide-ranging internal investigation found that FEMA engaged in, quote, textbook political discrimination during the Biden administration by systematically withholding or delaying disaster aid to Americans whose homes displayed pro-Trump or pro-Second Amendment signs. The probe, conducted by DHS Privacy Office, conducted that FEMA employees between 2021 and 2024 recorded citizens' political beliefs in agency databases, and that those details were sometimes used to bypass or postpone aid to disaster survivors. So it wasn't just that they were sort of ad hoc in the moment deciding, well, this person has a Trump sign, so let's avoid this. They actually logged that into a database for years and determined whether or not somebody received aid after a disaster on the basis of their political beliefs. I don't think I need to make this point, but Can you imagine if it was discovered that the Trump administration had a database of Black Lives Matter supporters and when a hurricane hit, withheld aid from people who had posted positively about Black Lives Matter or who had voted for Hillary Clinton? Can you even imagine the firestorm that would probably consume the entire Trump administration? If this was the other way around, this would be like the end of the Republican Party. It needs to be the end of the control of the Democratic Party over these actually important governmental offices. And say what you want about, you know, government overreach. I'm not entirely against the government helping to organize disaster relief. I think normal people do it better. I think actually, you know, as an example of some of the hurricanes they talk about in this article, Amish coming down and building houses for free, way more effective than FEMA getting involved at all. But like, this is a scandal. This is a crisis. This is a very big deal. Imagine being somebody whose house has been destroyed and you can't get aid and you're probably wondering why. And you're like trying to go through all the process, but she's like, you're struggling and you have no idea. It's because somebody at some point in FEMA has put a little star next to your name. This person doesn't deserve help. This person doesn't deserve to recover after a disaster. This person is a Trump supporter and is therefore less than human. It is crazy that they did this. And this isn't a much, much bigger story. It absolutely should be. I'm like in shock at what this article is revealing. Even though we knew it, even though we already knew what was happening, this puts it in such a greater context. Internal FEMA communications reviewed by DHS showed that several supervisors and crew leads told field teams to avoid or delay visits to homes displaying Trump campaign flags or other conservative symbols. Data pulled from FEMA's disaster release software showed skipped home visits, missing aid notifications, and field notes citing political signs as reasons for no contact. They systematically withheld disaster relief aid from Trump supporters. Let me just say that again. FEMA systematically, deliberately withheld potentially life-saving disaster relief aid from Trump supporters and people who support the Second Amendment. So who's going to jail? Who's going to jail, or when are we dismantling all of FEMA from the ground up? I just want you to imagine. I want you to imagine the media firestorm that would occur if it was ever discovered that Trump was deliberately withholding disaster relief aid, not welfare, not something that, this disaster relief aid from Black Lives Matter supporters or from Hillary Clinton. I mean, I'm telling you, literally, it would be impeachments followed by criminal trials. They would use this to dismantle the entire Republican Party. So let's use this to dismantle the entire Democratic Party. These people do not deserve a say in our government. They do not deserve to have any power over anybody ever if this is the way they use it. Just genuinely, it's completely insane. The issue first came to light after Hurricane Milton struck Florida's Gulf Coast in October 2024. FEMA fired a crew leader, later identified as Marnie Washington, after screenshots published by the Daily Wire showed messages instructing field workers to skip homes with Trump campaign signs. Then FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell condemned the conduct as reprehensible and referred the case to the U.S. Special Counsel, which enforces the Hatch Act, prohibiting partisan political activity by federal employees. In a February 2025 complaint, the OSC alleged that Washington violated the Hatch Act by engaging in political activity while on duty, noting that, quote, the presence of a campaign sign is not a reason that FEMA personnel would or should avoid visiting a property. The office argued that the Hatch Act prohibits an employee from using her official authority or influence to interfere with or affect the results of an election. Like, you have to wonder, if they're willing to do this, what else are they willing to do? Like, you think it's out of the question that they would, there was a lot of speculation at the time. As this giant hurricane, went up the Appalachian Mountains and like flooded places that never received, floods like that. And a lot of people were saying, yeah, it's probably weather control manipulation. And they basically flooded out a bunch of Trump supporters. And it's like, well, okay, maybe that's a little far-fetched. I mean, really, would they? But it's like these people withheld disaster relief aid from Trump supporters. They didn't know what those people needed. I mean, they were doing welfare checks, right? They're going house to house to see if anybody's there, if anybody needs help. You could have elderly people trapped there, literally starving to death and left to die because they have a Trump flag in their sign, in their yard, a Trump sign in their yard. These people they didn't know. So they're willing to kill Trump supporters by denying them aid because of their political beliefs. Like, what else would they be willing to do? What wouldn't they be willing to do? Maybe the better question. Quote, there's nothing in our policies and procedures and our training that would direct any employee to bypass anyone's home based on their political party, Criswell told lawmakers in November 2024. adding that she had seen visual evidence that Washington wrote to her team to avoid Holmes advertising Trump. She said she did not believe the conduct reflected a broader culture issue within FEMA. The DHS Privacy Office report concluded otherwise. It found similar actions occurred as far back as Hurricane Ida in 2021. From 2021 till 2024, FEMA maintained a database where they logged people's political identity and then withheld life-saving aid on the basis of that identity. To prevent future abuses, DHS said Noam has referred the case to the Justice Department and the DHS Inspector General for potential prosecution and disciplinary review. She also canceled FEMA's door-to-door survey practice, ordered tighter data collection controls, and directed the agency to issue new training defining legitimate safety and hostility concerns in the field. The DHS report further recommended removing free text comment fields from FEMA's mobile data app, adding drop-down options to prevent unauthorized entries, and creating new auditing and oversight mechanisms to safeguard privacy and impartiality. Somebody's got to go to jail for this. Somebody has to go to jail. Probably a lot of people should go to jail. Probably, again, this should be used as an excuse, as the reason that FEMA has to be gutted top to bottom. It's not enough to just train these. I mean, do you think these people had any doubt about what they were doing? I mean, they say it's because they didn't feel safe. Do you actually believe that? I mean, maybe they're so brainwashed and psychotic because of the MSM. I mean, we've seen it. I've seen probably 24 posts about, you know, Pete Hegseth wearing a red, white, and blue tie saying that it's clearly a sign that he's on Russia's team. So it's like, okay, I understand that the mainstream media has genuinely driven a lot of people batshit insane. I understand that. So it's not out of the question that a FEMA worker really is in this delusional mindset that, like, seeing a Trump sign is like seeing a swastika. And they're like, I can't go near there. They'll kill me. But how likely do you think that? Do you think these people believe that? Do you? Do you think these people really think they were in danger, or is that just the excuse they used? And what a ridiculous excuse that is. So do you think retraining them is going to help? You think they didn't know what they were doing? They know exactly what they're doing. They chose deliberately to exclude Trump supporters from receiving hurricane aid. You think they need to be trained? No, they need to be put in jail. They need to never be trusted with power ever again in any capacity. The highest amount of power, anybody involved in FEMA, anybody with knowledge of this going on, let alone participation, anybody in a position that should have had knowledge, even if they didn't, the only authority they should have for the rest of their lives is if they behave themselves really well, they can hand out the magazines in the prison library. That's how we need to treat these people. Again, just beyond insane. Meanwhile, Cincinnati police chief was sued for anti-white discrimination, has been placed on leave. This is the woman that blamed the white people for being severely beaten by a mob of black guys. And she came out and was like, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't have been there. Maybe it's your fault for being white. And of course, that's the other thing about the Trump supporter thing. There's a racial aspect to it. Absolutely. James O'Keefe Media Group exposes massive federal contracting scam by Native American company abusing minority status. James O'Keefe goes in with this terrible costume, really hilarious wig. And he's talking to this government contractor lady and going, just really obvious, saying, hey, you know, I'm not Native American, but I want the minority advantages. What if I just pretend to be Native American? They're like, yeah, it's called a pass-through. Super convenient. Let's do it. Again, it's just like, can we just do away with all this? We just do away with all this. All of the racial crap. We just cut it out now. I can't help but notice it's always the white people on the receiving end of this. White people discriminated against in jobs. white people discriminated against by the police when they're the victims of vicious crimes. It's the white people's fault. You're a racist for pointing it out. White people need hurricane aid. It's going to go to Somalia first. You have to be any race except for white to get bonuses from the government, free, you know, interest-free loans to start your business. And it's just like, you know, there's actually, like, in a way I'm just pissed off at this because it just is racial discrimination. And it just, from a principled standpoint, it's just, this just shouldn't exist, obviously. Then the other part of me is kind of like, at a certain point, and we're not there, and frankly, we aren't even close to being there. At a certain point, white people are going to stop being comfortable, and it's going to get crazy. Right now, the vast majority of white people in this country are happy to be distracted by the circus. They're happy to be distracted by the football games and the whatever else, and they feel like a good person for letting their country be stolen from them or by hating their own people, which is the whitest thing you can do, by the way. White people are the only race that grade their own race lower than anybody else. So if you're a white person and you hate white people, you're ironically doing something that only white people do and is maybe the whitest thing you can do. See, I reject that. I'm more of a culture diverse individual where I don't think other people are more special than white people. I, like other races, like my race and want my race to do well. I'm like an African in that regard. I'm like an Asian in that regard. You white people out there hating your own race, you're the only people that do that. It's a very white thing for you to do. If you hate white people so much, you shouldn't hate white people because that just makes you more like a white person. Does that make any sense? Of course not. These people are insane. Why don't we just get rid of all of it? Why don't we just stop trying to discriminate against white people? Because so far, white people are comfortable. White people feel good about themselves when they give up their power or spend their children's inheritance. They feel good about that. It's going to get to a point where white people get mad and start collectivizing. And so this is sort of a self-correcting issue at a certain point. It's just going to take a while and it's going to get miserable and we could just stop it in its tracks. We could just say, hey, racial discrimination is bad for everybody. Let's not do it against black people. Let's not do it against brown people. Let's not do it against white people. Let's not do it against Jews. Let's not do it against Muslims. Let's just not discriminate or not have bonuses or privileges for certain races. That's a all, you know, one size fits all, total end of the line solution to these problems. Because otherwise, white people are fine just sort of fittering away their lives at this point, not taking any of this seriously. It's going to get to a point where white people aren't so comfortable, and then they're going to get serious, and then it's going to be white people acting like every other race, and at which point, we're going to come back in a really big way. So why don't you just stop pushing us towards that? With stuff like this, L.A. turns Confederate statues that launched U.S. protest into art. These Confederate statues caused U.S. protest, knocked down. They're the center of a new art show. So they've knocked down, they have dismantled the statue of our forefathers, of our ancestors, of our heroes from our past. They've torn them down. In many cases, they've melted them down, and they've made them into abominations as a humiliation ritual against white people. A massive monument of Robert E. Lee once sparked riots in the Virginia city of Charlottesville is now a pile of melted down bronze artfully displayed in a Los Angeles museum. Next to the sculpture are barrels of toxic slag left over from the melting process. Around the corner, there's a massive graffitied equestrian statue of Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson, the two most famous Confederate generals in the U.S. Civil War, which Confederacy lost in 1865 and ultimately led to the end of slavery in the United States. They fought for slavery, says curator Hamza Walker, who's been working for 8 years to acquire the massive monuments amid lawsuits and logistical challenges of moving tens of thousands of pounds of bronze and granite to Los Angeles. What right do they have? Who did she buy this from? Who did she buy the material from? Nobody had a right to take that. The people of Charlottesville owned that statue. And we were told when it was taken down that it would be put in a museum. It's not that we hate you. It's not that we're trying to destroy history. It's just for people to have to look at this every day as offensive. So it can still exist in a museum where you can go to talk about history. But we shouldn't have a constant reminder of these things. That's offensive. People shouldn't have to live like that. They tore it down. They melted it down. And they reformed it into a grotesque mockery of art. What? Why do they get to do that? Who? So they stole it in front of all of us. So the people of these cities use their tax dollars to pay for a monument. Some jackass from L.A. buys it and defaces it and desecrates it out of an act of racial hatred. Utterly, utterly infuriating. 10 decommissioned Federate monuments are displayed alongside pieces of contemporary art. The massive graffitied statue of Lee and Jackson, for example, stands next to a giant replica sculpture of General Lee Carr from the ironic TV show Dukes of Hazzard. Just literally mocking and desecrating our history in a completely illegal fashion, by the way, because they don't have a right to this art. They don't have a right to these cultural monuments. Utterly infuriating. Meanwhile, UK Met Police will stop investigating, but will still record non-crime hate incidents as the UK just descends further and further into tyrannical madness. And I'll have to talk about that tomorrow more. I have a lot of information to get into it, as well as the Irish protests with this African raping a 10-year-old girl and causing a bunch of outrage. But we'll get into tomorrow how basically all of every Western country right now is engaged in a purge of so-called anti-Semites. It basically Israel is just, you know, forcibly destroying their opposition on the left and the right. And a lot of people on the right are going along with it here in this country. And I've got a lot to talk about in that regard. I'll have to save it for tomorrow, as well as the Irish stuff, which I'm sure we'll continue into tonight. But we'll get into all of that tomorrow, because even with 3 hours, even not taking phone calls and not having any guests, I just don't have time to get into all of the absolutely monumentally insane news from the world today. All I know is that we've gone beyond argument, I think. In basically all of these situations, there's one thing that is a through line. There's one thing that applies to all of them, and it's that the right answer to all of these questions, the right policy on all of these issues, is absurdly obvious. It's not up for debate. It's just right there staring you in the face. And we just have to have the will to get it done. We have to stop asking permission. We have to just do what needs to get done. We have to throw the traitors into prison. We have to dismantle their systems. We have to replace their policies with our policies, and we just have to do it with alacrity, with speed, with aggressiveness, without hesitation or apology. The solutions are there, waiting to be picked up, and all we need is somebody with the will to do it. If Trump has the will, then let's get it done. But we got about a little under a year left to completely eradicate the Democratic potential for victory in 2026, and I'm just not seeing it. So we'll keep fighting, we'll keep working, as long as you keep supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. You want to let them know who sent you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it. And you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So When did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up. And so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest, though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.